gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Got the pre-show burp out of the way. Okay, time for a sexy party. Happy
Friday. Are you having a party or something?
Uh-huh. Non-stop.
Oh, and remember, Friday is
Fridays with Fuglesang.
Good morning, children.
Good morning, John Fuglesang. It's
got
Friday.
Got pre-show belts taken care of?
Yeah, everything's good. Pop that cork, sucker.
Lovely.
Yeah, ready to go.
Thanks for playing Bob Dylan. The 70th birthday is coming up next week. I know you're excited.
Oh, my God, he's old.
I thought all this sizzle and excitement was because Ron Paul has announced for president this morning.
Mm-hmm.
I figured that's what it was. That's sizzling. Listen, with Newt Gingrich and Ron Paul in the same week, John, I just barely contained myself.
It's beautiful. You're now going to see Newt Gingrich and Mitt Romney and Sarah Palin and Tim Pawlenty and Michelle Bachmann all saying we've got to do exactly what Bush did but not call it that. It's going to be beautiful.
Yeah. And didn't and he in that little freak show debate, didn't Ron Paul, he advocated... legalizing marijuana, heroin, and prostitution.
Mm-hmm. He was brilliant,
awesome.
Too.
He was on a libertarian tear.
They said to him, you're going to legalize heroin? What's it going to do to the country? And Ron Paul said to the crowd of Republicans, he said, how many of you, if we legalized heroin, would start doing heroin tomorrow? And the crowd had to clap for him. Ron Paul is half brilliant half the time.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. All right, sexy liberal John Fuglesang. Guess what's tomorrow? We're very
Syracuse.
Warning, the Department of Liberal Comedy has just issued a statement raising the laugh alert level for Syracuse, New York to code orange.
John Boehner, not a color that appears in the natural world.
In an effort to protect the public from the side effects of John Boehner's curious orange hue.
You mean I'm going to stay this color?
The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show has been dispatched to Syracuse, New York. Home of the real Orange Men.
When are we going to stand up and take them on?
On Saturday, May 14th, at the Onsetter Krause Heinz Theater. Join Hal Sparks, John Fuglesang, and Stephanie Miller for an evening of perfect progressive brilliance and non-stop laughter.
That's at the top of our list.
Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com or by calling 800-745-3000. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show at the Onsetter Krause Heinz Theater in Syracuse. May 14th. It's the only antidote to John Boehner's orange. For the orange.
Yeah. A sexy liberal elf tells me there's very few tickets left.
So very
few.
Yes,
go to Ticketmaster.com for tomorrow night. By the way, John Fuglesang, we are going to be so happy to see you. You know why? Because Hal Sparks and I are on the same flight from L.A., so he'll be so sick of me. So we'll be so excited to see you and talk to you tomorrow night.
Good. I'll be on the same flight from New York with our booker who's being bribed to leave the tour. So it'll all work out.
Yes. Oh, my God. And by the way, don't be fooled by these scalping sites. These sites have sprouted out trying to scalp tickets for like $500, and then people think we're greedy hoas.
Ignore those.
Yes.
That's not us.
Yeah, exactly. We're really making an effort to try to price our tickets so everybody can, you know, there's a VIP tickets for the meet and grow.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Because that's going to cost you. I mean,
listen,
you know,
we can't afford the surgery we need because these prices are so low.
We desperately need. I want the same surgery Bristol Palin had, but I can't afford it.
Ooh.
All right.
That cosmetic surgery?
Sexy liberals, fine Americans. Don't forget, Raleigh-Durham coming up Saturday, June 4th. Minneapolis, Saturday, June 18th. And just announced yesterday, John, as you know, can you feel the fever? Chicago, June 25th. Gay Pride weekend. Tickets go on sale Monday. Apparently, Chicago exploded yesterday at the news.
Yes.
Boston, mm-hmm. Saturday, July 16th. Tickets, I'm telling you, flying out the door. I'm not hyperbolizing.
It's going to be a good summer, and we're going to bring the straight shame to Gay Pride.
Yeah. Chicago will be on fire again.
Yeah. This is the kind of emails that go back and forth between John Fuglesang and I. I'm like, can someone bring I Was Born This Way on CD in case we want to, because we're giving some of the proceeds to the marriage equality folks in New York. That's
right.
Our cause in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And John's like, well, I'm a straight guy, but okay, I'll
download it.
Download it.
Yeah,
bring
somewhere
that
between my Leonard Cohen and Neil Young, I've got Gaga somewhere, I'm sure, but I'll definitely be bringing the pre-show music for you. And
thank
Roland,
you.
Our booker, by the way, has a half brother,
yes.
Who he just met for the very first time, who's a Marine.
How
and,
Oprah?
Yes, that guy's going to bring six military buddies with him to our show in Syracuse.
Nice.
So
Navy SEALs.
The troops are supporting us.
Well, Marines. Kind of
yes.
close.
Okay, it's close enough for me.
I'm still in
my sexual bloodlust frenzy.
Yes, they are as badass as Navy SEALs.
Yeah, Absolutely. Mm-hmm. All right. So very, very exciting. Yeah. And don't forget, Chicago goes on sale Monday. But again, all over the place, we have, you know, the first few rows are VIP and includes Meet and Grow. But then we really made an effort. A lot of tickets are, you know, $22 up, you know, and then they go up to whatever.
Right. Go to Sexy
yeah,
Liberal.
$20. Come on.
Right.
For God's sake.
Go to sexyliberal.com and all of the valid links to all of the tickets you could ever need are right there. No need to do a Google search. That'll get you into trouble.
Do not buy these tickets on Craigslist, kids. You're being scammed.
That's
buy
right.
Them from us.
Yeah. What? Oh, it's those sites that say it's no fee. It's like no fee except for the $400 extra you're charging over the ticket price.
Yeah, and I know Stephanie personally, folks. She's not worth that kind of money.
No,
I really am
not. He's tapped that, and it's just
I mean, for a night with her, maybe. For a night with maybe.
Yeah.
He's
maybe.
Tapped that?
I well, you know what? It's hard to tell. The tour is such a blur so far.
I'm so flattered you remember,
already.
Steph.
Who can really remember?
Well,
all right.
You're not
and
the
that's
first
the story
woman to
I'm going to tell his wife. I don't really. Listen, it's a tour thing.
It's a
road
listen.
Thing.
What happens there's, in Syracuse stays in Syracuse.
Well, there's different rules on the road, isn't there? I'm new to it, so.
Absolutely. That's what Bobby Brown always said, yeah.
You were on the road in the 80s.
No, I wasn't. I've never been on the road.
Really?
I barely have left my house since the 80s.
I've been trying to get her on the road since the 80s.
Yes. This is really all a plot to get me out of my house. Which
and, in fact, I was having a dinner the other night. I was having a star-studded comedian's dinner at a Raw restaurant in New York with Eddie Brill, who I'm sure you know. He's the he's Letterman's warm-up guy and Letterman's comedy coordinator. Mm-hmm. He books all the comedians. And we were talking about what a brilliant stand-up you were to the other comics.
Oh,
and,
they,
and you know, your legend precedes you.
Oh, I don't
so we're
know
finally getting Stephanie about. Miller back on stage, being hilarious, bringing the house down.
It's like a, you know, nonsense. Michael Jackson as a tour been so anticipated.
In Britain, yes, that's true.
And you know I have a bad insomnia problem, so I actually was asking if his doctor's available.
Just, yeah.
I'm just like, what if it's just a little propofol? Listen, I'm having a lot of tour
just
stress.
Just a smidge.
Freebase some Novocaine?
Listen, now you figured out the dosages. Can't we?
Stephanie
Louise Miller.
Turn around and look at the line
tired.
You just crossed.
I am cracking under the tour stress.
If you're too tired, soon. Then sleep.
I can't.
Well, then.
I'm a stress ball.
I'm only going on this tour to get Stephanie's groupie leavings, you know? Like
yeah,
whatever,
yeah.
What her table scraps, what her and Hal leave behind is what I scarf up.
Oh, Fugle saying. All right. So we're excited. We will see you tomorrow night in Syracuse. Oh, what was I going to say here? Oh, you know, requests from all over the place. Facebook page is sprouting up like... You know, bathroom mold or
whatever.
Something.
They're sprouting up like porn sites.
Yes, and demanding the Sexy Liberal Tour. Like in the, well, first of all, damn it, Buffalo, Lockport, you can drive. Syracuse isn't that far. Come, because the show's different every time. As I've said, it's freshly pulled from my ass.
Yeah, it's not like it's winter or anything where you're going to be stuck in a snowstorm.
It's topical. It's
this
fresh.
This is true. And really, Buffalo's right next door to Syracuse. Yeah. What is it, like 500 miles?
Yeah,
come
and
on.
Kurt says, Steph, so my partner Steve and I are driving down the transit. It's where Mama lives, the transit from Buffalo.
As we found out, it's Route 73.
Eight.
Eight, 78.
What's wrong with you? 78. Moron.
Oh.
Looking for a liquor store, and for some reason I thought of you. Then I walked by the box wine and thought of you again. Box wine on the transit, who else would you think of?
No.
Thank you. All right, let's see. Joe in Oklahoma. Mama, it's Joe, the official Italian-Irish-Jewish Oklahoman of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Wow, that's what we need. More
niche.
Confused guys.
I have to say I'm a little disappointed. You're visiting all these wonderful liberal cities but avoiding red states like the plague. Well, we've only done one so far. We'll get to you. You need to come to Oklahoma City. We don't have a liberal talk radio station. What else is new? So we dedicate a few listeners who actually pay good money to listen to you on satellite. Please stop preaching to the choir and come here and preach to the reddest of the red states. Come see us, Mama. All right, well, listen, John, as far as I know, we have sexy liberal elves working nonstop, around the clock, doing things
non-stop.
I have nothing to do with. I don't
And it's really hard to find sexy elves, by the way, but we've got them. And
they're
are very sexy elves.
They're in a tree in New York somewhere, as far as I know.
Yeah, well, they're not eating too many cookies. They do the gluten-free, so that's why they're so sexy. And
they don't do the fudge stripe? Oh,
no. Those are the roly-poly, lovable elves with great personalities.
Okay.
We're going for the sexy elves.
Or we got the surly, sexy elves?
Yeah, yes.
Okay.
We have the surly elves.
All right.
But get us to come to your town. We're trying to work out Austin, too. So and we'll come to Buffalo eventually.
Yeah, I understand. There's various conspiracies popping up around the sexy liberal. Not only the tour director being offered a bribe. not to stop booking it, but we've had our Twitter, our Facebook hacked. Yeah. We've had, and there's mysterious.
There's some Michigas.
Stories. There's some Michigas going on, John. Some theaters that, despite the demand, don't seem to want it for some reason. Mm-hmm. Despite unprecedented ticket sales around the country, they're, I wonder if the word liberal in the title has anything to do with it. And then they're telling people, oh, nobody's from that show has called us. Which is,
yes,
you know,
a lie.
Lying sack of crap. You're a lying sack of crap.
Uh-huh.
You're a lying, scheming, stinking, nasty sack of liquid.
We're getting
crap.
A lot of, this is fitting for the ecclesiastical MOOC being here, a lot of no room at the inn stories.
Yes, we are. And it's kind of funny because Jesus
no
was
room.
A sexy liberal, and so
yes.
I don't know what the problem is.
Yes.
He was a very sexy liberal.
And
even
as Hal
he hung
and
out
I,
with 12 guys.
As Hal and I have dubbed you, you are Comedy Jesus. He did the show in Madison barefoot.
Yes.
And spoke of ecclesiastical things.
Well, there really is a Comedy Jesus show, so I can't compete with him. But yes, that was my barefoot was more a tribute to McCartney on the cover of Abbey Road, which is like Jesus.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a grab bag, the sexy liberal show. We got a little, you know, theology, we got a little politics, a little raunch.
Well, that's what
instance,
I loved about it.
A little teabagging.
So smart.
Teabagging demonstration. That was a public service.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't a comedy moment. It was a public service. It was an instructional video.
Exactly.
Okay. Which we'll do again. Hal and I, we're happy to share.
I find that whole thing a little hard to swallow, but if you
say
so.
You know,
you see?
John Louise. All right. Maybe we need to talk about this. I had a couple friends over the other night who broke this. Because you know me, I don't get out of my house, so I don't understand really anything about anything.
Right, yes.
Teabagging, you had to show me on the interwebs.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? I don't.
And then you're like,
I don't know. I don't go out.
That.
I don't know people. I'm literally, I'm almost like Nell. It's almost like I was raised in the woods with no interaction of any kind. And
comedy,
I don't even,
but when Chris showed you the teabagging video, you understood, and the memories came back, right?
Yes. Yes. What? Okay. No.
The memories of the road.
Yes.
Yes.
My point is that I, this is why I mispronounce things. It's like I've never really been in an actual school or around humans. I'm just...
No, you're like Boo Radley.
So I had not heard this. One of my friends brought this up, and then now she has sent me photographic evidence. There is a Facebook page surrounding white pants. Do you know what wearing white pants means, John?
What does wearing white pants mean?
What does wearing white pants mean?
What does wearing white pants mean? Besides no military service for you, what does it mean?
You know what? I'll tell you after the break.
Okay.
Boom! All rise, Queen Segway. Okay, 18.
No, Queen Tease.
Yeah.
Well, I know I'll be sticking on this station.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's it's quite startling what it means. Maybe I'll wear white pants tomorrow in Syracuse. 18 minutes and with an orange top. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God, that's kind of hot.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. I forgot about the Googles.
What?
It's not, that wasn't really that great a tease because everyone just Googled white pants during break.
Yeah.
That's good
because
we can't really discuss it on the air, I don't think.
Sure I can. Okay, so here's what wearing white pants means, which was news to me until a friend told me the other night, and then she sent proof that there is a Facebook page for white pants. It says, description, white pants is a group dedicated to warning people about the wearing of white pants, about the meaning of white pants. Wearing white pants indicates that, I just love this part, that you consciously or subconsciously like that kind of sex.
From the
back door.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's right.
And the part that I don't get, how can you subconsciously like anal sex? Wouldn't you have to be fairly aware that somebody is shoving something up your...
You would.
Unless people that wear pants tend to have no feeling in their sphincters. You know what I'm saying? How would you subconsciously? You're thinking about it, you've just never...
You know, there's that famous picture of young Representative Aaron Schock, Republican of Illinois, in white pants, a turquoise belt, and a pink checkered shirt.
Really?
Yes, there is.
He of the killer abs?
He of the killer abs that are on Men's Fitness this month.
I'm guessing a Family Values Republican?
Yes, he is.
Indeed.
It's so early in the morning. It also is code for ecstasy. It's code for MDMA, by the way.
Really?
I think this proves mostly that there are people that have entirely too much free time. The White Pants Facebook founder says, from now on, whenever you see someone wearing white pants, be sure to yell out, "White Pants!"
Really?
Thank you, and have a nice day. That's, yes, that was the public service they provided. It's I the White Pants Facebook page.
I think they're making this up.
I think so, too, but it's, hey, it could save a marriage.
Oh, boy.
Frank. You know, I'm just going to say, if the heterosexuals can't own marriage, our gay friends can't own that. So there we go.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. Frank.
You've ruined white pants for me forever now.
Oh, like you ever wore white pants.
Oh, it's Memorial Day.
Actually, that particular act could ruin white pants if you're not careful.
Well,
so I'm glad that
I
understand the meaning now. Now that we've
is it impolite to have
away.
That kind of sex before Memorial Day, or is it, I'm not sure, is it connected somehow to white pants? Is it the same as white shoes? I don't really, okay.
No, white shoes means you're not having sex with anyone.
Yeah. White shoes means you're Pat Boone.
Yeah, white shoes means you're doing voluntary celibacy. Mm-hmm.
All right. Frank, this is the cautionary tale, the mental side effects of listening to the Stephanie Miller Show. Dear Steph, my wife and I listen to your show daily. I think it's changing the way she observes things. Yesterday, while watching a sports report on the NBA playoffs, she asked why the logo for the Miami Heat is a flaming scrotum. I must be affected, too, because I see what she meant. Keep up the good work. Your official retired airline pilot, Frank. Frank, I apologize.
That's
we
awesome.
We have warned from time to time of the... side effects of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Warning. Listeners of the Stephanie Miller Show have been known to suffer serious side effects, including but not limited to rickets, rabies, scabies, eczema, the heartbreak of psoriasis, hemorrhoids, hematomas, heebie-jeebies, gingivitis, laryngitis, halitosis, expialidocious, projectile diarrhea, Epstein-Barr, Creutzfeldt-Jakob, Steinberg,
Flavin,
undescended testicles, distended ovaries, and exploding uvula syndrome. Consult your doctor if you are pregnant, awake, breathing, or have eaten within 12 hours. Some settling may have occurred. Do not use near open flame. Seek immediate medical attention if ingested. Do not induce vomiting.
Okay.
That's helpful.
By the way, a descended testicle is totally different than flaming scrotum.
Yes.
That's a different condition. Ask your doctor.
Although it's kind of close to exploding ovaries.
Yes. Yes. Mine only do that around Hal Sparks. I don't know why. Now,
not around John Fugelsang?
Well, yes, but John's married, and I really like his wife, and so it's, you know.
Okay, so it's
is
kind
she
of...
going? Is she going to Syracuse?
She will not be joining us in Syracuse.
Woo! Party's on!
So, yes, Hal rejected groupies. I'm your man.
See you, ball and chain.
Oh.
Here's the other side effect. You people have really weird dreams about us. We've heard this many a time. Anne, I think, takes the cake, Anne in Columbus. Steph and the Mooks, after 3 days of Abbottabod, I think that's making people crazy. Yeah, the Abbottabod.
Abbottabod. Abbottabod. Abbottabod.
Okay.
No. After, you have not begun to play that yet.
I think there's going to be people on rooftops. I think we really need to be.
You can't be sick of that. It's not possible.
After 3 days of Abbottabod stuck in my head from catching up on the Stephcast, only $4.95, except for Gling. Oh, okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
I finally got a good night's sleep last night. I had the strangest dream. You and I were doing the show from a John Yoko-style bed. Chris then came running in the room wearing tidy whities and started dry humping you. Okay, that would never happen because he doesn't wear tidy whities. But oh, not the other part? Really? Do you find me unattractive in some way?
Yes, I do.
Huh?
My husband.
Except for your spectacular ass.
Thanks. My husband came running in the room to see what was going on, told you guys to knock it off. I said, they're just messing around. Don't worry about it. We then realized the show was about to air, and Chris jumped off you. Next thing I knew, I was at a swim meet. All right, Ann. Good luck with all of that. We maybe should stop playing the Abbottabod thing, because that is a weird, it's a weird dream. Get off me, Chris.
You.
Damn it.
Blah.
20... Dare you?
About.
29 minutes after the hour, right back with Fridays with Fugelsang and Right Wing World on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Prepare to be knocked on your ass.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12. Please take your organ out for the ecclesiastical MOOC. I saved this for you, John Fugelsang.
Thank you. You saved it for me.
Yes. The did you see this Catholic Church story and the boner?
No.
The House Speaker Boehner boner. We'll give the commencement address at the Catholic University of America in D.C., Washington, D.C. this weekend. Ahead of the visit, dozens of faculty members from the school and other Catholic universities are writing to the boner, who is, of course, a Catholic, challenging his willingness to gut social programs while protecting new tax cuts for corporations and the wealthy. Mr. Speaker, your voting record is at a variance from one of the church's most ancient moral teachings of caring for the poor.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yep. I did hear about this. They're exactly right. And you know what? The Catholic Church is, I think, at least in Rome, one of the things they do right. And again, I want to thank Newt Gingrich for converting and making the church creepier when they leave, at least.
Yeah.
But one of the things they do right is...
We'll get to that, him running on a kind of Christian theme. Okay,
yeah, but they're the pro-poverty people. They're the people that are really out there. I mean, look, the Bible has about 7 references to gay people and about 4,000 to helping the poor. And it's insane that these guys just keep on cutting these programs. Jesus was the one who drove the capitalists out of the temple and said that the rich can't go to heaven, and he never asked a leper for a copay. So I'm very, very happy to hear the church bitch-smacking John Boehner because
Well, apparently helping the poor was at the top of his list, but then he lost the list in a drunken stupor. At Barfi's Bar and Grill. But it was, apparently.
I think the top of our list.
What?
You know,
I love this. In response, Boehner spokesperson told the New York Times, Boehner's speech is personal and non-political.
What?
I don't know what that means.
How can a politician give a non-political speech, especially one as political as him?
He's the Speaker of the House.
Yeah. Like, everything he does is political, and Jesus is political.
Oh, I'm personally for helping the poor. It's just politically, I'm not going to do anything about that ever.
Look, folks, 1 in 7 Americans now lives in poverty, and if that doesn't convince you that the rich need more tax cuts, I give up.
Yes, exactly. Let's dive into the right-wing world, shall we?
Yay.
See if we can suss out a little more. Oh, you know, hypocrisy. Miriam, oh boy.
Okay.
Can I just say, yay for John McCain?
Yeah.
John, I'm sorry. Do people re-find their decency when they're not running anymore?
Here, we have John McCain actually saying it.
How awesome is what John McCain said about torture, a man who has been tortured?
It was not torture or cruel, inhuman, and degrading treatment of detainees that got us the major leads that ultimately enabled our intelligence community to find Osama bin Laden.
Hooray. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I think that time machine Obama used to place his phony birth announcement in the Y newspaper, John McCain went back to 2000 and brought his decent self back up.
found his original self. I mean, it really is. I mean, you have to give it to him. You have to give him a great big yes.
Yeah.
I mean, he really took it to him. He said, you know, he talked about, what's his name, Bush-era attorney Michael Mukasey. Mm-hmm. He said his conclusions are false. You know, he got the information directly from CIA Director Leon Panetta. And here we are. These Bush people are still, you know, saying no. It's like you can't.
Not Rumsfeld. Rumsfeld acknowledged that torture had nothing to do with it.
Well, but then he flip flopped. Then he's like, cheese and crackers. I'm an old man. What did I say?
Yeah, somebody got to him, and so he reversed what he said.
Yeah.
Ixnay on the ooth tray.
That's right.
Yeah. Anyway, here's Mary Madeline.
Senator McCain has a very credible position here about what the enhanced interrogation techniques are. Bear no resemblance whatsoever to what he was subjected to. They were limited, and they were very effective. Of the thousands of combatants caught, fewer than 100 of them were in the program, and fewer than a third of them were subjected to these techniques, which were effective.
No, they weren't.
No, they weren't.
What, 5 years later? I mean, they tortured these guys in 2002. It's absurd.
Yeah. I mean, it's either true or it's not. I mean, none of us wants to be killed by terrorists, and it's just, I love this story. That is in one line. Torture did not lead the U.S. to bin Laden, and the mission shouldn't be used to justify the country's use of it in the past.
Yep.
John McCain said, in a nutshell, it was a Washington Post op-ed. He said enhanced interrogation techniques like waterboarding have no place in the U.S. treatment of prisoners of war. He said he also dismissed the claims by some Republicans in Congress and former Bush administration officials that have been making that enhanced interrogation led directly to bin Laden. He said, I don't mourn the loss of any terrorist life. What I do mourn is what we lose when by official policy or official neglect we confuse or encourage those who fight this war for us to forget the best sense of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what he was referring to. Michael Mukasey, the Bush guy, said Khalid Sheikh Mohammed broke like a dam under the pressure of harsh interrogation techniques that included waterboarding and loosed a torrent of information, eventually including the nickname of a trusted courier of bin Laden. Mukasey's conclusions are false, said McCain, who cited information he got directly from CIA Director Panetta. The trail to bin Laden did not begin with a disclosure from Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, who was waterboarded 183 times, McCain said. Intelligence officials first learned the nickname of bin Laden's courier from a detainee held in another country who we believe was not tortured.
Mm-hmm.
None of the 3 detainees who were waterboarded provided his real name, his whereabouts, or an accurate description of his role in Al-Qaeda. Period.
Mm-hmm.
The waterboarding of Mohammed, in fact, yielded false and misleading information about the courier. McCain said. Donald Rumsfeld said, I think anyone that suggests that enhancement techniques, let's be blunt, waterboarding didn't produce an enormous amount of valuable intelligence just isn't facing the truth. Donald Rumsfeld, one of the Bush people known to have lied. How many times about weapons of mass destruction in Iraq? And
there are known lies and unknown lies.
Yeah. Exactly.
But yeah, Khalid Muhammad has the record for being the longest waterboarding ever. He lasted over 2 minutes under it. And he confessed to dozens and dozens of terror plots, most of which didn't even exist. He wasted their time and they got all the good intel from civilized conversation.
Yep. McCain said mistreatment of enemy? Prisoners endangers our own troops who might someday be held captive.
Exactly.
He ought to know. And stands in opposition to the American principle that an individual's human rights are superior to the will of the majority or the wishes of government. Ultimately, this is more than a utilitarian debate. This is a moral debate. It's about who we are. See, it's a perfect day for the ecclesiastical move to be here.
Well, and if you sign on the torture, it means you're saying it's okay for other countries to torture our troops when they capture them. And it's, by the way, waterboarding, it's not simulated drowning. It's drowning. You just stop before the guy dies.
Guess who else was tortured?
Jesus. John McCain.
Jesus.
Oh, well,
yes, he was. Mel Gibson made a porn film about Jesus' torture.
Yes, I saw it.
He made a fetish snuff
kind
film
kind of a splatter film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, Lou Dobbs and Oliver North.
Mm. Senator Kerry, going over to straighten things out over there. Maybe he'll come back with that tail section.
Bob Kerry's never met a war he didn't want to lose, and that goes all the way back to the war that he and I shared back in Southeast Asia called Vietnam. This is a man who has consistently done anything he can to denigrate the U.S. military that I'm blessed to be able to cover for Fox News. This is a guy who's gone out and already announced that now we can withdraw from Afghanistan.
Right.
I would point out, Mr. Kerry, you could not have accomplished this operation without bases in Afghanistan, and pulling out now is exactly what the Ayatollahs in Tehran want.
Where can we start with this? Can I point out that
Where do you want
Oliver,
to start? Yeah, he denigrated the military by winning a few Purple Hearts, first of all.
Right, let's talk about denigrating the military by arming both sides of the Iran-Iraq war. Why do they hate us? Let's talk about arming the same Iranians who helped kill our Marines in Beirut. That's exactly what Oliver North did. After they bombed us, we cut and run. North sent them weapons. He can sit what we call the F down.
Exactly. I mean, you know, and this is the thing. This is what the Afghanistan mission was about. And it's not a surprise that, what do we have here? 59%. That's nearly 60, Chris.
I've heard.
60% of Americans think it's time to leave Afghanistan. A week after bin Laden was killed, new poll finds a majority of Americans think it's time to end the war with the country that gave them safe haven. USA Today Gallup poll. 59% agree with the statement the U.S. has accomplished its mission in Afghanistan, should bring its troops home. The Obama administration has already begun, planned to begin pulling out troops in July, obviously, but there are congressional calls actually on both sides now to accelerate the timetable of withdrawal. And I think, John, this proved the point that Joe Biden has been making, that we ought to do these targeted special ops like this. Al-Qaeda largely isn't in Afghanistan anymore.
And Nader said this years ago. Nader said this during Bush's first term, that it should be Navy SEALs and special ops, not troops. I mean, the only reason our troops are there are to guard a pipeline to the Caspian Sea, maybe for this $1 trillion mineral deposit they found. But the only way it makes sense to stay there. Go ahead.
If we get intelligence on where Mullah Omar is, where al-Zawahiri is, you know, guess what? Send the helicopters
Absolutely,
again.
Absolutely,
I mean,
exactly.
It seems like, you know, this has obviously been a smarter way of doing it. The amount of money we're spending in Afghanistan, let's look at that.
Yeah. God bless Molly Ivins, because she said that Korea was a war we called a police action. Terror is a police action we're calling a war.
Yeah.
And it's ridiculous.
Yeah. All right. Brian Kilmeade and Michelle Malkin.
Common went ahead and did his poetry rap yesterday in the White House.
Oh, my God.
Well, why is that noteworthy?
Well, I think that the reason why so many people are worked up about it is because it fits a pattern of this White House and this president from the time that he was a political neophyte in Chicago has embraced an impulse among the cultural left to display hostility to law enforcement.
What the heck is she talking about?
The rap, the poetry guy.
Yeah, no, I was on Joy Behar. I did Joy Behar the other night talking about this. Common is exactly the kind of rapper the Republicans should love. The guy's so pro-family.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even, and the poem he did that got them so upset wasn't even one of his raps. It was from when he did Deaf Poetry on HBO and used the expression Burning Bush, which refers to the Bible, a book that these guys need to stop worshiping and start reading.
Yep.
Common is exactly the kind of... It's not like he had Wu-Tang Clan and Flava Flav with Lil Wayne opening up at the White House. And Common does romantic comedies with Queen Latifah, you punks.
Yeah.
How is Brian Kilmeade that much whiter than me? It's impossible.
Yeah, Sarah Palin, by the way, you'll be shocked to know, had some thoughts on Fox as well. Is it bad that I just, it annoys me even to just read her sentences? Yeah, I don't even need to be subjected to the tone of voice, but it's just gobbledygook.
It is.
She basically talks like she writes on Twitter and Facebook. She went on Fox as her...
If parents. Only she'd stop at 140 characters.
Oh, Jesus. There's some way to do that. She said Common's appearance was an affront to class and decency. Here we go. I'll just try to do it. Yep. You know the White House's judgment on inviting someone who would glorify cop killing during Police Memorial Week of all times. You know the judgment is just so lacking of class and decency and all that's good with America with an invite like this. And you know it's so easy to assume they're just inviting like me or somebody else to ask. Come on, Barack Obama, who are you palling around with now?
Oh, Common has never glorified police killing. She's lying and race baiting to old, scared white people who watch Fox News.
You know who's lacking in class and decency?
Me.
I'll let you fill in. All right.
Sarah Palin.
Sarah Palin.
Mm-hmm.
I got class coming out my ass. What are you talking about?
Is she going to run
She staff? Said, of all the wonderful talent that's out there all over the country, why a rapper who would glorify a sense of racism, huh? And all those things I've already named with the inciting, the violence, and the cop killing, why of all people to invite? Why put him in a pedestal in the White House? Okay. All right. So that's...
Please run for president, lady. Please.
Who would Sarah Palin invite for Poetry Week?
Toby Keith.
Ron, I'm just saying a rag. It's a flag. All right.
Put a boot up your ass.
All right. 46 minutes after the hour.
Awesome.
Yeah. Back with the Scotchmore right-wing world as we continue Fridays with Buglesang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Who are you calling? Who? 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number.
Hoo-ah!
Thank you. Chris in Oakland here on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Chris.
Hi, how's it going? I was just going to say that as a veteran who out of Senator McCain. Hey, do you guys remember in 2000 when during the Republican primary and all that stuff that W was running about McCain, about his emotional status or stability or whatever, that, and there was some point at some interview or some debate where McCain literally looks at him and says, you should be ashamed of yourself?
Yeah. Yeah, you're talking about with Bush.
Right, right. Well, wouldn't it be interesting if now that Senator McCain, who's got some credibility within the Republican Party, if him coming on the floor of the Senate and saying these things starts to unravel this ball, and if any of the administration, the officials from W's administration, start taking heat over that, wouldn't that be an interesting little bit of karmic payback?
Mm. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think there's some evidence, Chris, that he hates George Bush far more than he's ever hated Barack Obama. I mean, they played the dirtiest tricks on him in South Carolina. I mean,
in exchange, McCain hugged him.
Yep. What's that? Go ahead, John. Sorry.
No, go ahead, please.
No, go ahead. No, you
in
first,
exchange,
please.
McCain McCain hugged him. Torture couldn't break him down, but Karl Rove did.
After you. Oh, no. You first. Thank you.
All right. We're so polite and white gloved today on the Stephanie Miller Show. All right, let's finish up some right-wing world. Rush Limbaugh.
Ew. Barack Obama wanted to exploit our problems, not fix them. Had no desire whatsoever to fix them. Just like he never knew what Reverend Wright was saying, but that poet, that rapper, Common, yeah, he knew everything.
Mm.
I mean, he was singularly inspired by Reverend Wright.
Mm. Yeah, I think the White House explained, John, that the president, obviously, he's not going to agree with every lyric that every person's ever written, but he works a lot with the, you know, poor kids in Chicago and trying to, you know, teach them poetry and, you know, counteract negative influences, yada, yada. So, yeah.
Oh, and by the way, Limbaugh and Sarah Palin both defended Dr. Laura saying the N-word 11 times in 5 minutes.
That's right.
Common? Ooh, don't let him at the White House.
A white woman saying it? Fine. Yeah. She's conservative. Okay. Gretchen Carlson, Fox and Friends.
Well, there's no doubt that Newt Gingrich is a brilliant man.
Brilliant.
I mean, I think we would all agree with all the people that we interview on this couch. Take politics out of it. He is a brilliant man. Mm-hmm. Now it'll be up to the voters whether or not they want to see him as president.
Computer says no.
He's a brilliant man who's been wrong about everything since Clinton's budget.
And I love that. I really sometimes just the headline makes you giggle. Like it was, you know, Gingrich running on the evangelical. It's like, what? Really?
He warned us about gay fascism. I'm like, if you think America's threatened by gay fascism, you're reading the wrong fetish magazines, Newt.
And he's the one who started this toxic political environment that we are still in today.
I know. What are they?
He was the founder
of it. Nasty Newt. That's what they called him back then. Yep. John Stossel on Fox and Friends.
Fracking. It's these chemicals that go in the ground, break up the rock.
Wait a minute. There's a new documentary that says that that's really dangerous.
Yeah, there's all this old movement attacking it. That's the water faucet. He has methane in the water.
Why?
Because it happens naturally. It turns out it has nothing to do with fracking. Mm. Some people have gas in the ground that gets in their well water, and they can, you know, it's a big country. Weird stuff happens.
Yeah, sometimes your tap water is supposed to light on fire.
It's natural methane gas in your water. It's organic.
Wow.
Stop whining about it.
We're going to be talking about fracking tomorrow night in Syracuse for sure.
Why are you liberals so upset about organic pollution?
Oh, John, you missed the right-wing caller yesterday. It's the pro-fracking guy. You people just want people all live in grass huts. And what else did he say? That's crazy. There's nothing wrong with fracking.
We've been living under these power cables for years. And
I've always had an arm growing up my back.
Yeah.
And I think we determined that he busted us, John, that we do indeed want people to live in grass huts, like in Avatar. Oh, that's what he said. We want people to live like in Avatar, the blue people.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't want to live in Avatar. It looked buggy.
Yeah, it's too buggy.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, you got us. That was the original plan.
Yeah, don't look bluish.
You crazy environmentalist. I get it. You don't look bluish. Okay. Whee! Hey, John, we're also benefiting, as you know, in Syracuse, the marriage equality folks. New York, tipping point for marriage equality. If New York goes, I think that's it. I think the country is... Woo-hoo!
It'll be the end of family traditional marriage as we know it.
Yeah, I think it is.
We're doing our part to destroy marriage.
Yes.
You know, if you're that upset about saving marriage, then stop protesting gay weddings and start protesting straight divorce. Go picket the Schwarzeneggers, you Republicans.
But here is a step forward. You could take your organ out once again for the ecclesiastical MOOC. I save all my ecclesiastical stories for Fridays.
Apparently.
Thank you, Michelle.
Every Friday is a good Friday, Michelle.
And saving it up all week for me.
The Presbyterian Church, the nation's largest Presbyterian organization, voted yesterday to overturn its ban on ordaining non-celibate gays and lesbians for church leadership positions, reversing more than three decades of official policy. One of the reverends there said it's a difference in how scriptures are understood. This is something about which good people of faith are disagreeing. And this is what you always talk about, John, about, you know, that I've had to, what was his name? He's a theologian,
Jim Wallace?
No, not Jim. I'll think of it. But that's what he said. It's just it's the things you talk about a lot, that some biblical scholars just interpret things differently. Sodom and Gomorrah was about, you know, promiscuity and not about...
Theologians are stealing my act. Actually, Sodom and Gomorrah is not about promiscuity at all. It's about public gang rape of angels in the street. And read it. That's all it is. It's hilarious. It's got nothing to do with consensual same-sex relationships. Oh, it's very funny stuff.
Okay,
all right. The mob gathers
outside.
If you
saw the Ben Affleck, Matt Damon movie, it's very gory. It's kind of moves
exactly
the wings,
like that.
And it's very, very,
No, these angels, they're called messengers, come and tell Lot and his wife, you got to get out of here. Stuff's going down. The crowd gathers outside, says, who are those guys? Throw them out here that we may know them. Lot, the hero, says, guys, why don't you gang rape my two daughters instead? They're nice. He's the hero. What a guy.
So they were sort of the Donald Trumps of their day.
Exactly.
My daughters have nice racks. Why don't you...
Exactly. Yeah. And then Lot goes on to impregnate his two daughters later in the story, and this means that gay people are bad.
Yes. That is, and the moral of the story there is...
It's a connect the dots with no numbers.
And there's a pillar of salt in there somewhere, I remember, right?
Yeah, Lot's wife.
Okay.
Because she didn't listen to her man and turned around to watch the city being destroyed, and so she's turned into a pillar of salt, because that's the kind of guy...
Moral of the story
with.
There, pay attention to your husband.
Exactly. Obey him.
Obey your husband, okay.
Sure.
All right.
Exactly.
Nice.
Speaking of which, Senator John Ensign, some interesting revelations about one of
dear.
Our family
Beautiful.
Values Republicans as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's
The Stephanie Miller Show.
Sexy party time. Fridays with Fugelstein. John Fugelstein, all 3 hours in the New York Bureau.
Splendid. This calls for a sexy party.
Sexy party is a Get Your Sexy On Syracuse tomorrow night. Tickets almost gone. Go to Ticketmaster.com or the box office of the Kraus Heinz Theater in Syracuse. Hal Sparks and John Fugelstein and I will be there for the Sexy Liberal Show.
Why do you sound like
funny the way we talk?
Or you could say hello. I'm from Ithaca. I would like to purchase several tickets to the Sexy Liberal Show.
Sexy little sounds.
Thanks a lot.
I'd like two tickets for Thor.
Hello.
I heard Thor sucks.
Theater?
Thor was actually good. I saw it last
Thor
weekend.
Thor is very good. I think I like it better than the comic.
And that's directed by Kenneth Branagh.
Yeah, I know, right?
Exactly.
I wonder if Rudy Giuliani saw it.
That's despicable.
Fabulous. Anthony Hopkins.
You're despicable.
It's despicable how well the Sexy Liberal Show is doing. All right. Speaking of which,
way to get back on message.
Yes.
Don't forget, Raleigh, you can go to Ticketmaster.com for all these. Sexy Liberal is the sexy.com yep. is the website. Sexy Liberal at Facebook. Raleigh Durham coming up. Don't forget, Minneapolis. Chicago just announced yesterday. Gay Pride weekend, June 25th. Very exciting. Boston, Saturday, July 16th. And a lot more to come.
And I can't stress how important it is to go to sexyliberal.com first and get all of your links there, because you don't want to be Googling Sexy Liberal and be taken to these scalping sites. That will overcharge you way, way much for tickets.
And I want to say, I know I'm a little bit biased about this show, but you should come see this show, folks. It's so great, because this is not a bunch of angry liberals getting around screaming about hemp, okay? This is a joyful, funny, sexy experience.
Oh, great. Now I got to cut my whole hemp routine that I just wrote.
No, you can still talk about hemp, and we'll be distributing it to the crowd in their drinks. But you got all the morality, all the intelligence, all the outrage and passion, but it's funny. It's entertaining first.
Yes, and as I've mentioned...
No pressure or anything.
It is freshly pulled from our ass, just like this radio show.
Yes.
It is. It's topical. Every time it's local in some senses, and it's Hal does stand up, John does stand up. I do something I've scribbled on my Chardonnay soaked cocktail napkin. We do panel, we do Q&A.
I do old Foxworthy routines, but I do it with a New York accent.
So it seems liberal.
Yeah.
All right, you can email us all at the regular old StephanieMiller.com, executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Oh, Sue in Rockville, she found some more Osama bin Laden diary entries.
It's just in. Mm-hmm. Dear Daddy, oi, what am I going to do with Whitney? She's my BFRL, best friend for life, but she's got to stop the drugs and drinking. If only I could talk to her, I know I could help. Mm. I could listen to I Will Always Love You Forever and with my sweet Whitney, and I will. Oh, man, when will my wife stop nagging me? We're bored, we want to go out, we want to go shopping, we're tired of seeing only you on TV, we want to go to the movies and go out to eat. Bitch, bitch, bitch. I'm the most wanted man in the world, and all they can think about me is me, 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 me. Yes. Jesus. Right. I mean, Allah. Yeah. The other prophet is
Allah. Allah. Oh, dear.
Oh, boy. Great.
What's on TV again? Oh, you again.
Oh, jeez.
Egotistical bastard.
Can we watch Jersey Shore once? In a while.
All right.
You want a situation. I'll give you a situation.
It's party stock. Friday party stock.
Hooray.
Hot.
This is a story about beer. Man calls 911 to solve beer emergency. It's beer. Get my beer song ready.
That?
Yeah. A 65-year-old Bridgeport, Connecticut man faces criminal charges after he's called 911 to solve a beer emergency.
Mm.
The emergency person arrived at his home. He offered the money to go to the store and buy him some beer.
Oh.
What is the malted liquor? What gets you drunk or quicker? What comes in bottles or
an emergency?
Beer. Can't get enough of it. Beer. How we really love it. Beer. Makes me think I'm a man.
Yes.
Beer. I could kiss and hug it. Beer. But I'd rather chug it. Beer. Put my belly out to here. Beer. I could not refuse it. Beer. I could really use a beer. 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 Beer.
Somebody bring me some Jenny Cream Ale tomorrow night in Syracuse.
Maybe they should try fracking with beer, and then people to have beer coming out of their tap instead of fire. I think that would everyone would be happy.
Exactly.
That poor guy. Niagara wine. Bring some Niagara wine.
Lake Niagara wine. Whatever. Why can't you get my upstate New York references correct?
Because I'm not from upstate New York.
Lake Niagara wine. I loved it.
Ice wine is not something you guzzle. It's
something you sip?
Yeah.
All right, I like this story because it's about marijuana and things stuck up people's ass, which we tend to like those stories. There's crime stories about people hiding things in various places. Police say pot pipe plucked from Florida residents' rear end.
Wow.
Mm, oh, that's not a good job.
That's alliteration.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The officer stopped him, learned he had a violation of probation and a probation warrant. He was arrested, asked whether he had any drugs, weapons, needles, or illegal arms. He said no. Once inside, however, he said, I have a pipe. Deputy asked him what kind of pipe.
A pipe from his popo.
He asked him what kind of pipe it was and where it was. The defendant stated it was a marijuana pipe, and it was in his rear end.
Well, at least he was forthcoming.
I have.
As I recall, thank those things God. Have an angle. In
a pot pipe?
It's not something you...
On my arse.
As you recall?
Yes. I've been told.
Oh, was he wearing things. White pants? That's the important question, I think.
So does this mean the entire Navy is gay? But only in their dress whites?
Well,
if they're in blue
you
or khaki, you're good, but...
The village people were wearing it when they sang it.
I want to thank the Florida Highway Patrol for keeping us safe from a recreational marijuana user.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, don't Google pink socks.
Oh,
really?
No.
Yes. What does that mean?
You don't want to know.
Oh,
yes, I do.
There you go.
Oh,
as the entire audience just when drops you their say, radios and reaches for the
just when you say you don't
Googling
want
it now for their parents who don't know how to use the internet.
Oh, dear.
So don't wear white pants with pink socks, whatever you do.
It never occurred to me to do that. But.
Well, since no one's listening to us now, they're all Googling.
Yes. Thanks, John.
No, that was me.
That was you.
Yeah,
sorry. Okay. I'm not much of a parenting specialist, but I think this would be better than taking a baby in a bar.
Look at you. You have a baby. In a bar.
Topless woman leaves baby in the car. A woman is accused of leaving her baby in a car while she tried to enter a bar topless. So when you're making moral choices and you're topless going in a bar...
Well, bring the baby with you and the baby can feed while you're drinking. There you go.
She also had an unrelated...
Everyone's happy.
She had an unrelated heroin charge.
Unrelated heroin charges are the best kinds.
See, until that, I would have thought, well, she's not the worst mother. She could have taken the baby in the bar. Okay.
Giving her baby a drink while she's having a drink.
Yeah.
I can't talk to Chris Lavoie ever again because I just looked up pink socks.
Yeah, don't. I told you not to. No,
yeah, I know. Well, Pandora, you open the box.
No, Stephanie, you really don't want to know.
You don't want to know.
Put on Girl from Ipanema. I'm busy now.
No, no one wants to know this. No. Let's talk about dead puppies or something nice.
No.
Don't.
Talk about cuddly puppies.
I'm not very good with the interwebs. That's going to take me time. All right, Roz.
So this woman might have had like Bailey's coming out of her boobs. You know,
maybe.
Breastfeeding. Yeah. In the bar.
Spigots.
Lord. I bet you can get that in Amsterdam.
Probably.
Rosin.
For a price.
I hope someone thinks of that in Syracuse tomorrow night.
There are fraternities that could stay alive from that.
Roz in Atlanta, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Roz.
Well, you kids are having such a good time.
You know what? I've given the money back today. You guys? No?
Yeah.
No. Okay.
Well, I'm going to return all my pay.
Well, except for Rebecca, who someone decided to curse out just before I got on. I know.
What did Rebecca ever do?
Nothing. She's such a sweetheart.
Well, to everyone else but me, but go ahead.
No, but my question is, it's evidently obvious that Cheney's talking about the guy that was most recently that's being kept overseas. Now, he's claiming the guy was waterboarded. How does he know these things? Has he got some kind of connection still, and he's within the CIA, and he acts, makes sense like he does.
Roz, when the director of the CIA, Leon Panetta, tells John McCain and says this is not how we got this information that led to the capture of bin Laden, why are we listening to anybody else?
Well, maybe we should waterboard Cheney to see if he's got a leak inside the CIA that he has no right to.
Okay. All right. Let's go to Ike in Charleston, South Carolina. Hi, Ike.
Yeah, I got a quick update for you. Fox News is going to run the first comments from Bush on the killing of bin Laden coming up here. And also, they wonder if President Obama is not completely serious about putting alligators in the Rio Grande down there to stop the Mexicans. I don't know what the hell they're talking about.
Yeah.
But lastly, the White
House... It's a news-like substance that's not actually news, Ike. Don't be disturbed.
Yeah, but it's comedy entertainment to some extent.
Yeah.
But on the white pants comment,
yes.
Me and a bunch of other painters are totally discombobulated now. We don't know what the hell we're going to wear to work.
Oh, the painter pants. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah. I look marvelous in them.
They're panties.
I did not look good in those in the 70s. Who looks good in painter pants? Some painters, I suppose. Not Armenian-looking men, looking Catholic girls in upstate New York, no.
I beg to disagree.
Christine in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Christine.
Hey,
going to go straight into what I thought about when you were talking about, you know, people who hide things in orifices.
Yes.
Oh, please.
Not since the drunken woman that was pulled over and hid her car keys up her hoo-ha have we enjoyed a story so much.
You know, like the police would never think to look there. And that's my point. My mom was a police sergeant in Illinois for nearly 30 years. And during that time, she was the only woman on the police force. And so anytime, no matter what time of day or night, she would get called in. And as a child, I got to hear all these great stories of stupid criminals. You know, she would never tell me who, but she'd be like, you never believe what happened today. I got called in. Shoplifters, mainly women, would take, you know, back in the 70s and 80s when gold necklaces, big, thick gold necklaces were.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so, okay, all right. Well, she has to do the naked search. And so, okay, spread the legs, and a chain falls out. No kidding. I can't tell you how many times she would tell people to do this, and then all of a sudden a necklace is, you know.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that takes some Kegel exercises to get the really heavy ones up. Now, Christine, what did your mom come home and say, hey, honey, guess what I found up somebody's hoo-ha today? Was that kind of dinner table conversation?
I was an only child, and, you know, it was almost like I became an adult in the house because she would tell other family members, you know, what was going on.
Wow.
The things that would happen.
Awesome.
And so I would be, you know, within earshot of this. And it really brought a greater awareness of, you know, what not to do.
Did you did you not ever use purses, just assuming that you didn't need them? Or all right. Thank you, Christine. I appreciate it. All right. John, how did we get off base like this? I don't understand. We're smart politics and now things up people's vajayjay.
We were going to talk about wholesome things like John Ensign. And instead
all right.
We're talking
we will talk about wholesome.
You teased that before the top of the hour break.
And I feel
know.
Like we're smearing all the fine people who smuggle drugs into this country by disparaging
yes.
this.
I apologize. 18 minutes after the hour, back with the more wholesome John Ensign story next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 23 minutes after the hour. Dave in Chicago on fracking. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Hi.
I have missed you guys. I've been radioless for a while, but we're back. Just on the fracking thing, you guys are missing the whole point. What it really is fondue on a tap.
Ah, I see. It's a way of making fondue.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it's an upgrade to your house.
I see.
Oh,
okay. All right. Okay.
Hot and cold running cheese.
Thank you.
Ooh. Yeah. I'd pay extra for that.
You wouldn't want a shower.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
Michael in Chicago. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Steph. Listen,
hi.
I'm one of the thousands of gay men who had a dream about you last night.
Oh, awesome.
And I really want you to help. I want you to help me interpret this.
Okay.
This is really what happened. I'm dreaming that I'm at the Sexy Liberal show watching your show.
Uh-huh.
And there are four women on stage, and you're one of them. And they're big red-haired women all wearing these huge hats except you. And I say to my friends who don't know what you look like, who sit next to me, I said, she's the one without the hat. Okay, help me. This is true.
All right, Michael. Thank you for that. Appreciate it. You know what? I blame Abbottabot again. It's giving people weird dreams.
Abbottabot.
Yeah. All right.
Abbottabot. Abbottabot.
Former Senator John Ensign of Nevada made false statements to the Federal Election Commission and obstructed a Senate Ethics Committee investigation into his conduct, the panel said Thursday in a scathing report that sent the matter to the Justice Department for a criminal investigation. Yeah, you can't get out of it by just quitting anymore. I'm gone now, so it's... I guess we know why he skedaddled, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, ecclesiastical move, could you take your organ out again? Senator Tom Coburn?
Oh, yeah. You mean next in line?
He said he was consulting with Ensign as a physician and an ordained deacon.
Uh-huh.
Oh, as a physician in that he had a urological problem in that he could not keep his penis in his pants. And as a deacon,
he was
consult him on how to pay hush money and
yeah, he was spiriting bribe money.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. He's going to be the next one. Now, if the Democrats are smart, and that's a pretty big if, but if they are smart, they will use this to finally do what people have been saying for decades, put the Republicans on the defensive. These guys don't care if half of these charges they throw at Obama stick. Same with Clinton. They just want to keep the Democrats on the defensive. Do it back to them. They need to keep this John Ensign story alive until Election Day 2012.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah,
because this thing stinks like
yesterday's cheese.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. You know I am not good with the interwebs. In fact, I still haven't accomplished googling pink socks, but I did do the white pants.
It'll ruin your day.
Don't ever do it.
This is actually a fascinating story. How Bin Laden emailed without being detected by the U.S.
I saw that.
He's a little more technologically savvy than I am.
Yeah. Flash drives.
Yes. Despite having no internet access in his hideout, Bin Laden was a prolific email writer. Can't be anything to be in the fly on the wall when he was clacking out his little...
He was writing angry things on Daily Beast every day.
I mean, he and I go out about the same amount, so you know what I mean? It was just, I don't know.
He was blogging the whole time.
Yeah.
Boy. Okay. He who built a painstaking system that kept him one step ahead of the U.S. government's best eavesdropper. His method served him well for years, frustrated Western efforts to trace him through cyberspace. The arrangement allowed him to stay in touch worldwide without leaving any digital fingerprints behind. His system was built on discipline and trust. It also left behind an extensive archive of email exchanges for the U.S. to scour. Oh, can't wait to see these. Just saying, he has a lot of free time, so I don't, you know.
Yeah. All discipline and trust.
Did the wives nag him? Did they get off deathtoamerica.com again? For God's sake, you've been...
He's been actually secretly writing for HuffPo for years.
Oh, stop it now. Jim Louise.
Actually, publicly. But...
I am so mad they won't pay me. That's why I'm going to...
He had the I Heart Whitney Houston blog.
I don't understand this aggregation. The trove of electronic records pulled out of his compound after he was killed is revealing thousands of messages and potentially hundreds of email addresses. Yikes! Explain that, John Ensign. Why has Bin Laden emailing you? No, I don't know if that's true. I'm just saying, who was he emailing?
Dick Cheney, perhaps?
Perhaps. Bin Laden would type...
I think you need to lay low for a bit. There's something coming down the pike.
Stop emailing me.
For the next few weeks, we don't know each other.
Yeah. You're next. On the dead to me list. Oh, now for real.
See me in the hallway. Okay. We're strangers.
Now for real.
I mean, I want to thank you for all the money you brought to Halliburton,
hey,
Osama, but otherwise.
I keep an eye out for Navy SEALs. See what
Thanks for getting us reelected.
Keep an eye out.
Hey, you see.
Bin Laden would type a message on his computer without an internet connection, then save it using a thumb-sized flash drive. He then passed the flash drive to his trusted courier, who would head for a distant internet cafe. Oh, he's the guy at Starbucks. What are you doing? Would you get off of there? What are you doing?
Wow, he had an e-lappy.
20 hour, and I'll tell you the rest of this story. Fascinating. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Would you do me the very great honor of eating my shorts?
I told you not to Google it.
Well, I learned to listen to you. For once, I am not the smartest person in the room.
That's so disgusting. I don't even
Amber know. In Washington, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, Stephanie, whenever they give you some weird thing on the internet or something they tell you not to Google, just check out UrbanDictionary.com. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yes,
she's right.
Yes, you're right about he's right about the pink sock.
Well, better yet, don't check it out.
Yeah, don't. No, do not check out.
I warned you. I warned the listeners.
Well, you didn't tell me it ends in death. That's not funny.
What? You know, you're like the guy who hands us crack and then says, don't do it. I mean, come on.
God.
How dare you, sir?
Oh.
I can't wait to see what they find in Bin Laden's cache. What kind of freaky
Stephanie
was he Googling?
What kind of freaky Stephanie Miller?
What kind of freaky? Santorum? Pink sock?
Yeah.
Just asking. All right, so we were talking about how he evaded being detected. He didn't use the online. He put it on a flash drive, gave it to a courier, and then they went to an internet cafe.
Seems like it's a bit... takes a bit longer than...
Well, yes, it's a little... You know,
I
little,
have
yes.
a double frappuccino yeah. and...
female beer. How long labor, is this going to be?
A little bit labor-intensive, I think.
At that location, the I always think there's creepy stuff going on in internet cafes anyway.
yeah, people writing screenplays.
I want, I want the latest Fiona Apple CD and an explosive device.
At that location, the courier would plug in the memory drive into a computer, copy Bin Laden's message into an email, and then send it. Reversing the process, the courier would then copy any incoming email to the flash drive and return to the compound where Bin Laden would read his messages online.
Wow.
They
were cutting-edge technology.
Yeah, Navy SEALs...
That's a lot better than dialysis in a cave.
Yeah.
Navy SEALs hauled away roughly 100 flash memory drives after they killed Bin Laden, and officials say they appeared to archive the back-and-forth communication between Bin Laden and his associates around the world. The cache of electronic documents is so enormous, the government has enlisted Arabic speakers from around the intelligence community to pore over it. Oh, thank God, we're not firing the gay
yes.
guys anymore.
Are there gay guys among them?
Mm-hmm. I imagine there are. Mm. Quite a bit of translating we need done. The files seized from Bin Laden's compound have not only have the potential to help the U.S. find other al-Qaeda figures, they may also force terrorists to change their routines. That could make them more valuable or vulnerable to making mistakes and being discovered. So, yay!
Yay!
This gets betterer and betterer. This whole operation. All right. Wow, did you hear about the McCain ladies? Ladies! They're feuding with Glenn Beck.
Yes, I did hear this.
He's such a sexist pig lately. Have you noticed that? Like half the things we played in Right Wing World.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. Cindy McCain was none too pleased over a recent segment on Fox's Glenn Beck show that featured him making crude jokes about daughter Meghan McCain's appearance. Should he be making jokes about anyone else's appearance or weight or whatever?
He's a tub of goo himself.
Tub of goo.
Yeah.
And she's very attractive.
Yes, and it was a public service ad to fight skin cancer, for God's sake.
Curvy, but you won't find two bigger Republican boobs than O'Reilly and Glenn Beck together if you write it.
Yeah.
Cindy McCain took to her Twitter account to say, I'm so glad Glenn Beck is leaving Fox. Enough vitriol and hate. Glenn, you are no rodeo clown. They're decent and nice. You aren't. Oh, rock on, Cindy McCain.
Nice. Decent and nice. Brian Kilmeade?
I'm warming up to the McCains.
yeah, liberals did that 10 years ago.
Beck had taken brutal aim at Meghan McCain's appearance in the ad, feigning vomiting into a trash can.
Yeah.
He said, I'm getting sick just looking at it because it's so sweet, he joked. After a protracted fake vomiting session, he reportedly suggested McCain wear a burqa to be extra safe. When I look at that picture, I think to myself, I get the point, put some extra clothes on. The TV ad purports to show naked female celebrities talking about the importance of wearing sunscreen. It's for skin cancer.
Right. Which her
and she's not naked.
Her dad famously
had
skin cancer.
Nearly died from
it. What a guy. Oh, wow.
Both of her parents actually have had skin cancer.
Those are the Christian values Glenn talks about. I like that.
She said, I'm aware of Glenn Beck's show today. He's pathetic and extremely desperate for publicity if he's resorting to attacking my weight. Plus, I don't. Doesn't Rush Limbaugh do that a lot too? I don't get it. Women that are attractive and not overweight.
Well, they're going after Meghan McCain because she's hanging out with Rachel Maddow.
Because she's not the right kind of Republican. Uh-huh.
Yeah, Rush but Michelle Obama, gorgeous.
Yeah,
who wouldn't like to be in that kind of shape?
And Rush calls her Moochelle Obama.
Yes, because Rush is.
He compared her physique to Navy SEALs.
Yeah.
Because he's the best-looking guy in the world, you know.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
So he prefers the Navy SEALs? Well, that explains a lot.
That explains the off-market Viagra.
Rick Conrad had the best joke. He said, Rush Limbaugh supports gravy boarding.
Yeah. I think I said that about 4 years ago. But anyway.
I probably did. All right. Mittens. Oh, Mittens.
Oh bless his little heart.
Bless his heart. Here he is again trying to explain how his health care plan, which is exactly like Obama's health care plan, is completely different.
Our plan was a state solution to a state problem.
Oh.
And his is a power grab by the federal government.
And I'm not defensive. You're the one who's defensive. Don't look at me.
That's the smartest argument, though. That's what he should be saying. Because if Mitt really wants to get in front of this, he has to make it a states' rights issue. It's the only way he can avoid having his own party crush him on this. He still did the same thing, but he's not even doing that. He's coming out and trying to defend it instead of just saying states' rights, biatch, and then they'd shut up.
And it's not working.
Yes,
he can't even convince his own people.
I in fact did what I believed was right for the people of my state.
Ugh.
And I have nice hair.
Yes, he said backing away from the plan he signed as Massachusetts governor, changing his overall health care vision would be politically expedient given that his health care plan has become a liability. He said, I'm not adjusting the plan to reflect the political sentiment. He's trying to address a huge vulnerability as well as counter the notion that he bends his positions to suit the current political environment. That's because there's a lot of evidence that he bends his political positions to suit the current political environment.
Yes.
Jay Carney yesterday.
Governor Romney seems to be running away from some of the goals of his own law.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I've read, Chris, you sent me some 10-page article. It's just, you don't even need it. It's like, this plan could not be more like, this was the template for Affordable Care Act.
There is one difference between Massachusetts Act and the Obama's Act. The Massachusetts Act, that covers abortions. Obama's doesn't.
That's not.
Interesting.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, because that's because he said he was going to be more pro-choice and more pro-gay rights than Ted Kennedy.
Yeah, exactly.
You remember that.
In 94, he was more pro-choice than Kennedy. In 08, he was more pro-life than Huckabee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's backwards evolution.
Like the federal law, the Massachusetts plan requires individuals to buy health insurance and imposes tax penalties on those who don't. And both plans penalize small business above a certain size that don't provide coverage to their employees. Both rely on new taxes for some of the financing. Mm-hmm.
Single payer.
The other problem, as we know, in Republican circles, in case you haven't noticed, he's Mormon.
Yes.
He delivered, you remember the Mormon speech, and one analyst said the speech failed to undo months of the whisper campaign that suggested Mormons are not Christian.
Mm.
He's not Christian. There were a lot of God warriors, you know, in the Republican base. In
and now Gingrich is going to be running for president as a Catholic Republican. Like, just when the church was getting less creepy, Gingrich converts.
Yeah. He's not a Christian!
Yes.
Oh, that was not a whisper campaign.
She wasn't part of the whisper campaign. Deirdre in Annapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Deirdre.
You're just having an angry Republican day. Tom Coburn, that phony medical Catholic doctor...
Testified.
...who voted against extending... benefits for the jobless people, who voted against raising the minimum wage, who voted against health care, is now negotiating money for a criminal senator to pay off his lover's husband.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
Orrin Hatch, the other phony Mormon, on Morning Joe this morning, said calling Democrats horses' asses. And one more thing. Who is the guy you were just talking about? Newt Gingrich.
Yes.
The new Catholic who gets to receive communion even though he's been married three times.
All right. Do you have it all out of your system now, Deirdre?
Okay, I'm
all
good.
Right.
Thank
okay.
you.
Good.
Not
right.
just for Kennedys anymore.
We're all about the venting. That's okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Great piece in Time magazine by Joe Klein, who I just met recently out here. You know, this is the thing about getting overconfident. His article is Obama's 2012 reelection chances, why he could lose. That even though, particularly after, you know, the last week and he's at 60% approval and this pack looks fairly pathetic, he makes some interesting points. He talks about the most telling moment in his 60 Minutes interview came when asked for his reaction when he saw the photo of Bin Laden shot in the head. He said, it was him. Which is just, Joe Klein says, Barack Obama, more Gregory Peck than John Wayne, the same taciturn, hyper-disciplined quality that is so frustrating when he seems unable to connect with the economic anguish of American people, came across as just right. Perfectly Midwestern Kansas, not Hawaii, much less Kenyan. George Bush would have what? He would have said something like, booyah, nothing but net, you know, something cocky and sort of.
I'm the man, here's a man.
Yeah, and all he said is, that was him. That's what I thought. Spiking the football, no, like, gloating, no, you know.
No flight suit.
Yes.
Yeah, Bush would have played dress-up in a hard hat or a flight suit.
I think he would have said booyah.
I give George Bush credit for getting Bin Laden if by getting you mean letting him escape Tora Bora, forgetting about him, and invading the wrong country.
Yes.
In that case, he got the hell out
yes,
of him.
Yes, he did. But anyway, he says a few days earlier, five of the Republican candidates for president gathered in South Carolina for their first official debate. It was a weird show, newsworthy only because Ron Paul came out in favor of legalizing heroin, cocaine, and prostitution. But anyway, Joe Klein goes on to, he knows a lot of fun facts. He's been covering campaigns since, I came into presidential politics with Cardo. I'll never forget his staff's derision of a certain washed-up actor extremist from California named Ronald Reagan. Similarly, I remember the Democratic Party's despair in 92 after Bill Clinton was linked to a lounge singer named Jennifer Flowers. George H.W. Bush had beaten Saddam Hussein and retaken Kuwait. His rating stood at 90%. Both Carter and Bush were beaten by Obama economy. Obama could lose, too, even to someone who seems silly to frusty opinionators like me. He could lose if he keeps playing on the Republican field deficits rather than the arena preferred by most Americans, the sputtering soaring economy. He needs some big, new, easy-to-understand economic initiatives he could lose if he doesn't remind the public that he cut their taxes as promised and their Medicare drug bills. He goes on to say McCain, who lost his shot in 2008 when the financial crisis came and he didn't seem to know how to react. Obama was calm under fire then, and ever since, it's why he's likely to be reelected. We prefer presidents who are adults over those who are angry, but he's certainly not a lock. So I agree.
He could easily lose this. He could lose to Tim Paul Lenti. I mean, $6 a gallon could beat him, but Tim Paul Lenti couldn't.
Yeah, exactly. 45 minutes after the hour, back with more Fridays with Fuglesang on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-1-2.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Well, now we have conclusive evidence that Bin Laden is dead, Jim. Michelle Bachmann says so.
Oh, well. Oh, that
so. Okay, Columbo. She was among those who were granted access to the by the CIA to the photos of Bin Laden's corpse, and she tweeted, so then you know it's true.
Oh,
today
of course.
The CIA saw the Bin Laden photos. I'm convinced we got our man. So
we?
Yeah, we, Kemosabe.
Yeah.
Really?
She had nothing to do with it.
I love hearing civilians talk about how we took him out.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, John, did you hear how long the ghoulish Senator Inhofe looked at the pictures for an hour?
Really?
Just say.
Did he have to change his shorts afterward?
Oh, clean up.
Why do you need tissues? Oh, come on. So
brain bleach.
Yeah. Interesting. No.
You did a lot of
brain bleach
this morning.
Interesting, those who chose not to, though. Senator John McCain said, I've seen enough dead people in my life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Senator Claire McCaskill said, agreed.
Nice.
She said the only reason the picture was taken was to confirm that he was dead. I think that he was killed. I think that's obvious right now, and I have absolutely no morbid curiosity about it. Senator Ron Wyden, Democrat of Oregon, and Susan Collins also said they will not view the images. All right. That, and I think we can't play the John McCain drop enough on torture, which was, let's give him another...
It was not torture or cruel, inhuman, and degrading treatment of detainees that got us the major leads that ultimately enabled our intelligence community to find Osama bin Laden.
If that guy was running in 2008, he might be
wow.
President.
McCain is so right.
I voted for that guy.
Yeah.
He's so right part of the time, he could be a libertarian.
Yeah. What was the deal with the oil thing yesterday? It was like a Senate full of carrot tops. There was a lot of props.
Yeah.
Props aplenty in the... The earring was for verbally flogging oil company CEOs. No senator bothered to pretend it was about making gas prices more affordable or helping the economy recover. Orrin Hatch set the tone. He opened with a portrait of a dog sitting on a pony.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dog and pony show. Get
mm-hmm.
it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was.
Chuck Schumer countered with a reference to a unicorn. Senator Pat Roberts suggested a rhinoceros. It was a fit opening. Boy, oh boy. Yeah, it was a fit opening for a show where oil executives served as props for the politicians needing to show voters they are angry, too, about the $4 a gallon gas.
But yeah, but what are they going to do about it?
Nothing.
I know.
Nothing.
Chuck Schumer.
And that was the whole point of it.
Senator Chuck Schumer.
One of my colleagues suggested that this hearing is nothing more than a dog and pony show. Well, you'd have an easier time convincing the American people that a unicorn just flew into this hearing room than that these big oil companies need taxpayer subsidies. That's the real fairy tale.
Well, that's the thing. They need to get rid of these taxpayer subsidies for the oil companies.
Yeah, and then I don't even know, what's his name, Roberts, Republican of Kansas. It's difficult to follow a unicorn from New York who has a very sharp horn. Sometimes a unicorn can morph into a rhinoceros.
What?
And you don't want to mess with a what the hell? Why are we giving subsidies to oil companies?
Exactly.
Ron Wyden,
you want $20 a gallon gas? I didn't think so. Hand
Ron
over
Wyden
to subsidies.
Of Oregon was great. He played this video of the 2005 congressional hearing in which mm-hmm. oil company executives said they didn't need generous tax breaks because oil was then selling at $55 a barrel.
Mm-hmm. Now that's $100 a barrel.
Yes, just below $100 a barrel. And we're still, I mean, it's...
Mm-hmm. Well, and what's even more distressing is while the Democrats, I thought, were terrific yesterday, Schumer and Rockefeller especially just brought the fight to these guys while the Republicans are trying to defend them.
Yeah.
The fact is, why can't we have a public option for gas? Why can't the government just open up its own string of gas stations that they run at a sharply discounted price, and people can just choose to shop for the crappy government gas if they want?
That would be communism.
It'd be an option.
The BP president, Lamar...
The currently contemplated changes to the tax rules would limit the resources companies like BP have to invest, not only in conventional energy production, but also in new and emerging technologies like wind, biofuels, and solar.
Oh, please.
It would limit their ability to invest with record profits? It would limit their ability to invest?
Did you see the, what's his name, ConocoPhillips CEO, Jim Mulva? He had outraged many. He released a statement calling it un-American to end subsidies to the Big Five. Did you see Schumer chewing him up?
Yeah. Bitch smacked him.
Yeah. The position, a stark reversal from what he said just a few years ago in 2005. He agreed with the same thing. It's $55 a barrel. We don't need the blah, 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 blah. Now he's, of course, changed his tune. Let's skip down to James Mulva, ConocoPhillips CEO yesterday.
Put us back to work. Open up. Give us access to the lands. Let us start drilling. Put our people back to work.
They have all these leases already. This is just so...
We're suffering under record profits.
Yeah. Please. Yeah.
Help a brother out.
$100 a barrel. Mm-hmm. Give a poor oil brother a hand.
We need $1,000 a barrel.
The worldwide effective tax rate for our industry in 2010 was 40%. That's higher than the U.S. statutory rate of 35% and the rate for manufacturers of 26.5%.
We don't want to pay our fair share in taxes.
If the Democrats can't win on this, they don't deserve to win.
Yeah, well, I think you're right.
Of course, Kennedy got rid of the oil depletion allowance, and look what happened to him.
Oh, you're going to bring that up again?
Marvin, the Shell president. Marvin,
we have over 400 leases in Alaska that are sitting idle, waiting for permission to move forward.
I guess that was a dog and pony show, wasn't it? Thank you, Orrin Hatch. Yeah,
just get rid of tax subsidies. Plain and simple.
Yeah.
Oh, so you want $20 a gallon gas? Okay, you asked for it.
Dave in Minneapolis on the oil companies. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Stephanie. Boy, do I love you guys.
I love you back.
And buy some tickets for the Minneapolis show coming in June.
Already have them. Row B, seats 8 and 9.
I want you, sir.
Steph, I don't know who said it about establishing the American government gas stations, but at least we ought to have the American government do the pumping, you know, of the gas if any new oil wells are going to be drilled in the U.S. Because if we rely on the normal cast of characters, namely the private companies, there's nothing that would keep them from just gouging us like they're doing. Here in Minnesota, the fishing opener is going to start on weekend, and gas went up 20 cents a gallon. Why wouldn't they simply do that, keep all the money and make even more exorbitant profits?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a good point. I mean, it just, you can't, you're shaking your head watching this. You're going, so the oil is literally twice what it was the last time we had these hearings. And they said, and nobody, I mean, John, he didn't give a good answer, did he? I mean, Schumer just kept trying to nail him down. And what, you know, why are you saying you need them now when you didn't need them in 2005? You look at these profits and it just, there's no way you can spend them.
Why do you hate capitalism?
Just because. I think the Sexy Liberal Show is proving that I don't hate capitalism. That's why it's driving the right wing crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they hate liberal and like capitalism.
They hate people who believe in capitalism and morality at the same time.
Exactly. It's Jill in Ithaca. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jill.
Hi, staff. Hi, guys.
Hi.
You sure you don't want to change your plans for tomorrow and appear in Ithaca instead? We have 7 head shops on our main street.
You just bring us some gifts and come to Syracuse, all right? It's only 45 minutes, you lead foot. All right, 50, I know, Jill. 58 minutes after the hour, right back. More Fridays with Bugle Sang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. Well, I'm walking on sunshine. Well,
the Stephanie Miller Show, brought to you by Napa, Napa Know How.
Hi.
StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. SexyLiberal.com is the Sexy Liberal Show website. Wow. Tomorrow, Syracuse, New York, ladies and gentlemen. Tickets, I understand, going very, very fast. Ticketmaster.com at the Krause-Hines Theater tomorrow night. John Fuglsang, Hal Sparks, and I in the Sexy Liberal Show. The show conservatives don't want you to see. Yeah, they're indeed trying to shut us down. There's more.
The Stephanie Miller
more
Sexy
intrigue.
Liberal Show is taking the country by storm, packing theaters across the nation. And conservatives are losing their minds.
I'm going to lose my mind today.
John Fuglesang, Hal Sparks, and radio goddess Stephanie Miller are touring America, and the Republicans are so afraid of the truth that they want to shut them down.
I say, shut it down.
Oh, no, she didn't!
Don't let that happen. Bring the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show to your area. Contact your favorite venue and demand it. Tell your friends, make a Facebook page, tag at Sexy Liberal on Twitter, and be sure to like Sexy Liberal on Facebook. Let it be known that we all want the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show because it's the show conservatives don't want you to see.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
You can't stop this show.
Some more
like
intrigue, we understand. In places mm-hmm. where there's huge demand at yes. certain theaters, the theaters are telling the booker, oh, no, nobody from that show has called us. We uh-huh. don't. Might be the title that might be the problem, Jim.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just love that.
Sexy and liberal. Two strikes against it.
Yeah. They're just it's making their heads explode. They're like, no, the liberal ideas are not attractive in any way. Oh.
How can liberals be sexy?
We don't want liberal ideas. We're Christians here. Exactly. You know, by the way, I heard we had a big host.
Time to get your sexy on in Raleigh-Durham, Saturday, June 4th, Minneapolis, Saturday, June 18th. Chicago just announced June 25th, Gay Pride Weekend. Very exciting. Boston, yeah. Saturday, July 16th. Very, very exciting, all of it. And we will have many more announcements to come. And thank you to Mark at the Post Standard who wrote a great piece in the Syracuse paper.
Aww.
Because I'm coming home because I am Sister Sleaze. Of the Featherweeds Morning Circus is how I'm best known
wow.
in those parts.
Ah. Still?
Yes. Listen.
Wow.
I'm still known as Sister Sleaze.
Yeah, reputations don't die in upstate New York, apparently.
Yeah. Sorry, John. What were you going to say?
Oh, no. Well, we're just doing some very good organizations we're trying to help. Like Marriage Equality New York is being benefited by the Syracuse yep. show. And the fracking, we're going to get the frack out of New York. And also, we just changed hotels, I understand. We were going to stay in a casino, but now we're staying in a much nicer place. I can't say the name on the air, but it rhymes with West Western. So it'll be up to your standards, Steph.
It'll be up to the standards of us driving around in a rented Volvo with the guy who's trying to kill me for the insurance money in Madison.
Yes. Well, yeah, I broke a few sodomy yeah. laws with myself in the backseat of that car.
Well, what you did yourself is illegal in many states.
Oh, I was pink-socking all over the back of that car. It was
oh,
horrible.
Did we have to bring that up again?
Oh, I'm sorry I raised the issue, Chris.
Well, I told you not to Google it.
All right. Kids, we should point out the meet and grope tickets are the VIP seats a little more expensive, but we tried to price things. I mean, the tickets go all the way down to like $20.
Yeah.
So, you know, anybody. And also, these venues are so great, John. We're in like the Class A venues everywhere, and so mm-hmm. all the seats are good. You can see Hal and I teabagging from anywhere.
Really exciting. And the show itself is so solid. It's so good. And, you know, like I said earlier in the show, I'm stealing my favorite Jeff Foxworthy material and passing it off as my own. So.
Yeah, exactly.
You might be a liberal. I'm really impressed that you guys booked the Chicago Theater yeah. in
Hello.
Chicago.
Hello, yeah. ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
As opposed to the Chicago Theater out. In Kansas City.
How did yes, exactly.
Gay Pride Weekend and Taste of Chicago Weekend. Hello.
Oh, cool.
Par and then Tay.
Oh, you've got, Italian beef. You have to,
Oh, God, sausage, Jim.
Sausage.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God.
I'm going to invite Denny Hastert.
We can't be far behind.
I want to invite Denny Hastert to the show. I ask him to bring some brats. Stuff from the Taste of Chicago.
From Chambord.
Yeah, that's good beef.
Mountain Chambord.
It's good meat.
Sure, we'll find lots brats of good raw bigger. Vegan places in Chicago, too.
Vegan brats, yeah.
All right, and we're right near the Billy Goat. So we can get a cheeseburger.
Just across the river from the Billy Goat, actually.
No shortage of meat in Chicago. All right. Oh, guess what we need to bring with us, John? I'll bring you some. Dear God, I need to carry some best yet. The Cedar Side. There's bed bugs with super bug germs have been found.
Horrible.
What?
It's a nightmare.
What?
Yeah.
Where?
Yeah, researchers reporting an alarming combination. Bed bugs carrying a superbug. Canadian scientists detected drug-resistant staph bacteria in bed bugs from three hospital patients Vancouver. That's why you need to pack it with you, my cedar side.
Best they make yet, travel size.
Yes.
Travel size, yeah.
Yes. I will humiliate everybody.
With, yeah, cedar side.
Yeah, we should have bed bug tips on this show, because you can actually get bed bugs from listening to this show. But if you're going to a hotel, don't put any bags on beds.
That's a different insect.
Don't Google
when you're in
that.
Hotels, don't put, if you, wherever you go, don't put your duffel bags, your suitcases, or your purses on beds or couches. That's how they travel.
Yeah. Someone did ask me if cedar side kills crab lice, and I actually asked the owner, and he said yes.
Wow.
That's not something they advertise.
No. It kills everything.
Yeah.
It can
naturally. Be used as a lubricant and kill two birds with one stone.
And as a dessert topping. All right.
No, don't use it.
No, I'm kidding.
Okay. Well, you know someone out there is going to try it as a dessert topping.
I heard on the radio that
the Stephanie Miller Show is just kidding.
Oh, by the way, that venue earlier is telling fans that we are not contacting the venue, which is a big, big lie.
Yeah.
Yes. You know what? There's been a huge amount of fans contacting a certain venue, and they're like, oh, no, we haven't heard anything from that show. We don't know nothing.
Mm-hmm.
No room at the inn.
Mm-hmm.
Terry, who used to be the official French kisser of cats, but who is now the official crocheter of the Stephanie Miller Show,
writes, one.
Steph, I tried to let Debbie Wasserman Schultz know I was making her a sister Afghan to yours now that she's the head of the DNC. She crocheted me an Afghan because I'm old. That was the joke. And I wasn't making fun of your age. I was celebrating your advancing wisdom.
She crocheted a dog?
All right, let's cut the crap. I was making fun of your age. However, because I live in the frigid plains of Vancouver and Washington instead of the 20th District of Florida, I was rejected by her website. It's bad enough to be rejected by a man or, in some cases, Steph, but to be rejected by a website is the ultimate. So if you have an opportunity to talk to Ms. Watson Schultz, please tell her I'm sending her an Afghan as a celebration of both of you. And, by the way, you still need to cover your mouth when you're on Ustream. Oh, pardon me. Sometimes I yawn and pick my teeth. Sorry.
And sometimes you do have...
I forget that thing's in here.
Like in the first hour, right after you've eaten, sometimes you do have stuff in your teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
Yeah.
Okay. Yikes. All right. Chris in Chicago wants to know why we hate oil companies. Hi, Chris. Welcome.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm not saying that you hate oil companies. My question was, is I'm just thinking the Democrats or the liberals, why are you guys just so anti-oil? Because it seems like...
Anti-oil? In that we think that they should make billions and billions of dollars in profit and get subsidies from the government?
Well, let's cut out subsidies for every company. Every company. Because what I'm thinking is if you give...
Not every company is making money hand over fist like the oil companies
are. Why do you care if they make profit?
That kind of profit is fine. When I mean, you're paying more tax than ExxonMobil, you think that's fair. And they get a tax subsidy, an oil subsidy on top of it.
Do you like that you paid more taxes than ExxonMobil?
Here's what would happen. If you let the oil companies drill pretty much anywhere they want. Now, just wait a minute.
Okay.
If you let them drill anywhere you want and gas goes to $2, I don't care if they make $1 billion a day.
That will never happen. That will never, ever happen. And you know it.
Why was gas $1.90? Why was gas less than $2 potentially 4 or 5
Chris,
years
isn't
ago?
This what Michelle Bachmann just argued yesterday, that if we get rid of the subsidies, the gas prices are going to go up? Because they're going to in order to maintain their $75 bazillion profit a year. Yeah.
But for what you're asking the oil companies to do now, how's that going to make it go lower?
They said when oil was $50 a barrel, they didn't need subsidies. It's $100 a barrel now.
They're on tape saying that.
Are you tired of oil companies controlling Washington?
Am I tired of oil companies controlling what?
Yeah, are you tired of sending troops to illegal wars for oil? Are you sick of it? Are you sick of the environmental damage by this? Come on, man.
But there's nothing there. T-Boo Pickens put billions of his own money in wind and solar, and he came out and said, guys, it's not there.
That's not exactly what he said.
No.
And I'll also remind you that the root of this problem, my brother, is when the oil companies began all merging. Before, it was Exxon and Mobil separate. When we used to have a lot more oil companies, there was more competition and prices were lower. When now we only have four big ones, the prices have gone up. Even you, as a capitalist, can see that link, right, pal?
Guess what? He hung up.
I out-capitalized him.
He was out of bullets.
I'm telling you, man, it's the merge. When we had more oil companies, we had more competition and lower prices. That's why I wanted government public option provision of gasoline.
Also Wall Street speculation.
Well, that's the big thing.
Yeah.
And also, the T. Boone Pickens thing going for solar and wind, that was just a front so that he could frack more to get more money for his natural gas company.
You know, when I look at my phone screener, my screen, John, that's it literally is the visual equivalent of them throwing the gun when they're out of bullets. Yeah. I just saw him go, poof,
remember that?
Exactly
poof,
right, man.
Because it's all these mergers. It used to be more companies, and that's how capitalism works.
Remember those?
All of this consolidation is why the prices are so high.
Remember those BP ads before the big oil spill when they're talking to ordinary people on camera about how diverse it is. They're into wind and solar and blah, blah, blah. And
beyond petroleum.
Drilling. Yeah, right. Beyond petroleum.
They're beyond petroleum. It says it right in their name.
Those commercials were canceled immediately.
Yes, they were. You haven't seen those commercials.
But, Jim, there were windmills and the green things.
They were in pictures. There
green
were pictures
spinny things.
There
were
green spinny things, which means
and
they're environmentalists.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right? Okay, more importantly, Laura has a birthday request for Jim.
Boy.
Sorry.
Oh.
Laura in Madison. Hi, Laura.
Hi. First of all, I wanted to thank you for starting your tour in Madison, and we certainly enjoyed helping your show lose its virginity.
Okay. Thanks for popping our cherry.
So I'd like to hear birthday wishes from Tom Brokaw for Laura Ruth, born in May 11, 1964, in Park Ridge, Illinois.
All right, well, we can't do all that, happy birthday to you
from
Tom
Brokaw. Can you include their blood type in that?
Tom Brokaw.
All right.
Happy birthday to
Laura
from Park Ridge, Illinois.
Did I get that part right?
Yes, thank you.
I didn't have
all right. 18 minutes.
I can't type that fast.
No. 18 minutes after the hour, right back. More Fridays at Fuglesang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
Freak.
Say chic?
Yeah. Freak. Yeah. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. The freaks come out tomorrow night in Syracuse. Join us for the Sexy Liberal Show. 23 minutes after the hour.
The bada bada.
All right. All right, Jim has a. We love us some Tom Tomorrow,
yes,
the cartoonist.
This Modern World. It's supplanted. Calvin and Hobbes is my favorite strip ever. We were talking earlier about George Bush taking credit for the Bin Laden demise. This one's called The Top Secret 100% True Story of George W. Bush Time Traveler. It's great. Check
it
out.
Awesome. Yay for Tom Tomorrow.
He's a fan of the show, I understand.
Yes, I believe he has memorialized me in a cartoon once.
Yes, or two.
Yes.
Yeah.
He rocks. By the way, we have the smartest listeners in the world, including Tom Tomorrow. Tom in Stillwater, Minnesota writes, Steph, the most coherent argument I've heard for staying in Afghanistan is that that country provided the staging point for the raid on Osama bin Laden's compound in Pakistan. The best reason I've heard for maintaining our relationship with Pakistan is that we need that country's cooperation to move supplies to our troops in Afghanistan.
Circular argument?
Yes.
Wow.
It is the Scooby-Doo moment.
Yeah. Wow. We have a little bit of breaking Hollywood news.
Yes, breaking Hollywood news out here in Hollywood.
Ashton Kutcher has been confirmed to replace Charlie Sheen on Two and a Half Men.
And we are not punking you.
Nope.
Yes.
Serious business.
Guarantees I'll watch the show as much now as I did back then.
Yeah.
Which is not at all. Yeah.
All right. Hey, other breaking entertainment news. Chicago mayor has named a street Oprah Winfrey Way. Richard Daley, the departing Chicago mayor, has given Oprah her own street. It's a block in front of Harpo Studios, Oprah Winfrey Way. I think State Street, though it's a great street, after a Sexy Liberal show plays at the Chicago Theater, they're going to name that Sexy Liberal Way.
Mm.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, sure. It is on State Street.
It's a great street, but it's named
on
that for too long.
State Street,
they need
that
to change
great
it.
Street.
Two and a Half Men will now be titled Dude, Where's My Famous Addict?
All right, time to play another edition of What's in Lindsay Lohan's Medicine Cabinet.
Oh, God.
Another edition?
What isn't in her medicine cabinet?
Here are the fun facts. Her probation officer thinks she might be a drug addict. You decide. D-listed saying she could become a champion on the competitive pill-popping circuit. Nexium for heartburn, Yaz for birth control, Zoloft for depression, Trazodone for depression, Zyrtec for allergies, Doxycycline for bacterial infection, Zithromax for bacterial infection.
What kind of bacterial infection?
A lot of infections.
Gee, where could that be coming from?
And she failed a booze test last month after she got out of Betty Ford.
Wait a minute. You're only really supposed to take one antidepressant
yeah.
at once.
Yeah.
And I'm supposed to
you're not supposed to pile antibiotics on top of each other either. You,
right.
You end up
antidepressants and antibiotics.
Yeah, let the Stevie Nicks could tell you that.
Oh,
that
yeah.
story.
Yeah.
She says she believes her addiction to prescription drugs stopped her from having a baby.
Oh,
me
really?
Too. That's probably why I'm a child loser. What?
It was the prescription drugs that did that.
Yeah.
What?
Oh, she was prescribed Klonopin in 1986 after she overcame cocaine addiction. She insists the substance ruined her life. She said, the only thing I would change about my life is walking into that psychiatrist's office who prescribed me Klonopin. That ruined my life for 8 years. God knows, maybe I would have met someone. Maybe I would have had a baby. I wish I had something to blame my loser life on.
No, you know what? I got to go with that. I actually really think she's right. Klonopin's pretty evil. Killed a friend of mine last year.
Oh,
no, sure. John, I was telling the story. I went to a psychiatrist. I think I don't need to tell anyone why.
mm-hmm.
No, but I mean, no offense, but they're pill pushers. And I was like, I joke, I've never taken drugs. I don't even smoke pot. And so I've never even, and it just like, they talk to you for 5 minutes and like, oh, here's anti-anxiety thing.
Yeah.
And now they have drugs to amp up your antidepressants if you're still depressed and the side effects on this stuff.
No, and someone was saying.
Oh, but there's drugs for the side effects of the drugs.
Sure,
of
course.
But I mean, I have trouble sleeping and someone was saying, oh, you need something to stop your brain. And I'm like, well, my brain has to start again in the morning. If I start to affect how my brain works, then, you know. So yeah, I think it's I remember my, I told you the story, USC.
Mm-hmm.
What do you call it? You know, remember Stevie Nicks Fleetwood Mac did Tusk with the USC marching band?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I just remember in my binoculars looking at the 50-yard line and my friend Grace was stumbling around with Stevie Nicks with a baton while the band was playing Tusk. And
that at Dodger Stadium?
No, it was at USC. And I don't know, she somehow, my friend from my dorm befriended Stevie Nicks, and she was stumbling around down in the field with her in some sort of drug-induced stupor. Anyway, it was a good song. Hmm. I loved it. Tusk.
That's a great song.
That's from The Dance, their live album they released in 92. Very good. Very good record.
Yes. Thank you. Jean in Minneapolis on the Republican field for 2012. Hi, Jean. Welcome.
Hi, Steph. Thank you. I have two slogans for the Republican Party now that Newt Gingrich and Ron Paul have declared.
Yes.
The slogan is the party of three-time losers. And the second one is, speaking of Newt, now that he's Catholic and Catholics don't believe in divorce, polygamy. It's not just for Mormons anymore.
That's right.
All right. Thank you, Jean. There is something. We like newness in America.
Well,
we're just kind of like, that again?
Of,
okay.
It's sort of serial monogamy, but there's some overlap there. So,
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, Newt Gingrich believes that, you know, marriage is a sacred institution, but every now and then a guy needs some new sacred on the side.
Sure.
Yeah.
He's only running for higher public speaking fees. Like, he's punking the entire Republican Party. Newt Gingrich knows he will never be president. He is running to get a better position to renegotiate his contract with Roger Ailes at Fox News. And that's all it's about.
Speaking of frauds, a new story about Donald Trump is
huge.
Turns out he's a huge fraud. Huge. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You are physically repulsive, intellectually retarded, you're morally reprehensible, vulgar, insensitive, selfish, stupid, you have no taste, a lousy sense of humor, and you smell. You're not even interesting enough to make me sick.
What's that from?
Cher.
Witches of Eastwick.
That's why I forot it.
Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. Where's my money theme for Donald Trump? Huge scandal, Jim. Huge. It's from the New York Times. Buying a Trump property, or so they thought. Trump, who has zealously sought to cast in... sought to cash in on his name, has entered into agreements that homebuyers describe as deliberately deceptive over the last few years, according to interviews.
Hugely deceptive. Huge.
What, his hair's not real?
And hundreds of pages of court documents, the real estate mogul has aggressively marketed several luxury high-rise properties as Trump properties, signature Trump properties with names like Trump Tower, Trump International, even making appearances at the properties to woo buyers.
And the Trump compound in Pakistan.
But when three of the planned buildings encountered financial trouble, it became clear Trump had essentially rented his name to the developments and had no responsibility for their outcome, according to buyers. In each case, he yanked his name off the projects, which were never completed. The buyers lost millions of dollars, despite even as Mr. Trump pocketed hefty license fees.
Wow.
Those who bought the apartments in part because of the Trump name were livid, saying they felt a profound sense of betrayal, and more than 300 of them are now suing Mr. Trump.
I feel good about my chances in 2012. I got huge, huge chances.
Giant fraud. Who knows?
Almost makes me question his character.
That's weird.
A huge character.
Okay.
Huge.
Huge.
The excretes character.
Let's go to character. John in Chicago, Denny Hastert territory. Hello, Jan.
Hey, John, Mook, Steve Lusang, how you doing?
Yeah,
Steph, I just wanted to tell you that you can be a little disappointed about eating sausage with Denny Hastert because he lost about 100 pounds.
I've seen that.
Hastert looks very, very different. You wouldn't recognize him.
Yeah.
Oh, you wouldn't. And the funny part was he was on Chris Matthews about 2 months ago, and he's still wearing his old suit. He looks like David Byrne. And stuff.
All right.
That's making sense.
We won't see him at Taste of Chicago.
I just saw him posing for the new International Mail catalog.
Oh, God. That's
I don't think that exists anymore, John.
I like the old character of Denny Hastert. I don't want to lose him, the big sausage-eating...
Did he get stomach stapling or something?
God.
You know?
I don't know. All right. A potentially awkward meeting between Senate Republicans and President Obama where debt negotiations went smoothly, the senator said yesterday, although Obama did more listening than talking. This meeting was described by Republican senators as a polite exchange of ideas. Maybe what does that mean to them? They didn't yell, nobody screamed you lie at him or called him Kenyan? Obama warned of a risk of a default if the debt limit isn't increased and said Senate Democrats were genuine in their call to reduce the deficit. The president's carny yesterday.
We all need to work together to find common ground.
No.
And to achieve a goal that we all share, which is serious deficit reduction.
They don't share your goals.
No.
We suggested substituting the Gang of Six for the Team of Six, but that was just a,
SEAL Team Six?
Yeah.
Okay.
Senator Mitch McLiplis.
We know what the options are. The question is, the only question remaining is, what will we pick up and agree to on a bipartisan basis?
And how badly will we screw poor people in the middle class? That's the only thing left.
You know what? I hope a Republican does beat Obama in 2012, because then the Republicans will never mention the deficit ever again.
Mitch McLiplis.
There is zero chance that there'll be a clean debt ceiling. Zero. Democrats wouldn't pass a clean debt ceiling.
What?
A clean debt ceiling?
Dirty debt ceiling is...
An area that there is widespread agreement that we need to tackle is comprehensive tax reform. That cannot be done between now and August.
Yeah, their priorities, it's just, as we saw this oil, you know, got to continue to subsidize the oil industry, just making money hand over fist. Mm. This headline from yesterday, House Republicans to long-term unemployed drop dead. Barbara Lee and Bobby Scott, our Democratic friends, want to give long-term unemployed another 14 weeks of unemployment insurance. Boehner had encouraged them to work with Representative Dave Camp last month. Camp is pursuing a bill that would give states the option to spend federal unemployment dollars on paying down debt instead of paying for extended unemployment. So he did a little bait and switch, and now they're not going to. Yeah, now just drop dead. That's what you can do. Florida cuts unemployment benefits to pay for corporate tax cuts. Why? Such an odd pattern across Republican-governed states. Conservatives in several states moved to limit unemployment benefits, even with the national unemployment rate at 9%, and more than 40% of the unemployed having been out of work six months or more. Florida Republicans also succeeded in reducing their state's unemployment benefits, sending a bill to Governor Skeletor for his signature. With this bill, Florida will go further than any other state in dismantling its unemployment insurance system. The Republican sponsor of the bill said cutting benefits encourages people to get back on the job.
Yeah, right.
Lazy bastards.
Wow. And that's when your health care encourages you to get healthy.
Florida can't sink into the ocean too soon.
Oh, come on. There's great people in Florida.
Great people in Florida. We love Florida.
in fact, one of the highest demands in the country for sexy liberals
right.
in South
well, okay.
Florida.
Their governor, mm-hmm. their governor just looks like the evil preacher from Poltergeist 2.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Two.
Preacher Kane and Skeletor.
Yeah, exactly.
But it is great that Florida believes in giving criminals a second chance. The governor's mansion, a bit much.
Adding insult to injury, the money saved from cutting unemployment benefits will be used to reduce business tax in the state where the corporate tax rate is already exceedingly low.
It's in negative numbers.
Oh, guess who they are helping?
Keep the high-speed rail out.
Guess who they are helping? The gun lobby.
Ugh,
this is so ridiculous. Rick Scott has been one of the country's fiercest critics of health care reform, frequently saying it comes between doctors and patients. So now he's expected to sign a first-of-its-kind bill that does just that by forbidding doctors from asking their patients if they own guns. This is something pediatricians do all the time.
Mm-hmm.
To prevent accidental injuries, pediatricians routinely ask parents if they have guns and if they're stored safely. So because of the NRA, you know... They're not. They're going to try to. They want to stop pediatricians from asking that. One of the doctors down there said, "If you have a pool, let's talk about pool safety, so we don't have accidental drownings. If you have firearms, let's talk about gun safety, so they're stored properly. You know, guns mm-hmm. locked
yeah.
up separate from the ammunition. That's all." And uh-huh. the gun lobby won't even let them do that. I mean,
that's your small government right there telling doctors what they can and can't.
Yeah.
Ask of their patients.
I know.
Wow. And during the whole healthcare debate, they screamed about government getting in between uh-huh. the doctor-patient
yes.
relationship.
Right.
And now what's the right wing doing in Florida? Getting in between the doctor-patient relationship.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Speaking of Republican
if
governors.
If you don't like it, we'll shoot you in the head.
Haley Barbour to flood-stricken Mississippians. You're on your own.
I don't think he said it exactly that way.
I'm paraphrasing.
Okay. No, what he really said was y'all are
I'm
screwed.
I'm not saying he doesn't have his priorities in straight. Instead of pledging to do everything possible to help the people of his state deal with the flood, he called for the federal government to declare a flooding disaster and moved his furniture out of his lake house. So like, it's not like he doesn't have his priorities straight. He had to get his own furniture out of his second, his lake house. Told flood-stricken families to rely on their friends to get to higher ground because the state wouldn't help.
Yeah. Like I said, y'all were screwed.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God he got his furniture out of his lake house. Oh, I was so concerned about that.
God.
Isn't that, it's like they're just so out of touch. It was like George yeah. Bush after Katrina saying the main thing is getting, what's his name? Trent Lott's Brenda rebuilt as quickly
oh, yeah.
as possible.
Yeah.
Or,
but that's
was
the
it?
Thing.
Yeah.
The problem is not rich people. The problem is rich people with no understanding of their own privilege. That's the Bush family to a T. People who've never had to know what a gallon of milk costs. I'll say that Clinton, Reagan, and Obama worked themselves up from nothing. But when you're electing a president or senators who were millionaires at birth, don't be surprised when they're completely clueless as to how real
mm-hmm.
Americans live.
And remember the initial response to the Fukushima disaster, the business community said, well, at least it's not just a humanitarian disaster. And not a financial one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Priorities.
Mm-hmm. Wow, here's another. Whirlpool paid no taxes over the past 3 years, got a $64 million tax refund in 2010.
Nice. How is that possible?
It's just... It was surreal watching these oil companies
because
testify.
Because some people voted for Reagan. That's
yeah.
Are
yeah,
you
yeah,
must Stephanie. He always bring that
well,
up?
It's because of you that we're in this
it's
pickle today.
It is because of you, Steph.
You are the only one.
Why do you hate freedom? And by the way, are you going to get mad at me, Steph, if I bring up the fact that people voted for Obama because he promised to take on this stuff?
Yeah.
We're still waiting.
Yeah, and he's still promoting nuclear energy.
What are you
energy.
Talking about? Are you talking specifically about the oil companies?
I'm talking about promising to tax the wealthiest Americans and promising to go after these subsidies, yeah.
Oh, just wait there, Skippy. Fred in Chicago,
the second
you're
term's
on,
coming.
Fred in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Yeah, I think the oil companies and the profits should be nationalized like in Alaska.
Hell yeah.
That's our oil. That's not their oil. It's the American
right
people's oil. My father fought World War II.
Yep. Yeah. He'll take no further questions, apparently.
I agree with you, and I'm hanging up.
Mossadegh tried to nationalize the oil companies in Iran, and then we put in the Shah.
Yeah.
Steve in Raleigh, North Carolina. Hi, Steve.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I was told to make this as brief as I can, so I'll try to. I was listening to Rush yesterday. I'm a conservative. And I heard him talking about some lady that was on, I think it was in a town hall, saying that she was going to lose her job in a zoo. And he went the direction of, you know, she was going to try to get free stuff from the government. And I did not see her going that direction with that question. Did not know if you guys heard that and wanted to get your comments.
I'm completely confused
stuff?
By what you just asked
the woman
me.
In the town hall that spoke to Obama about losing her job and that she wants free stuff from the government, is that what you're saying?
Well, that's what Rush basically was saying yesterday, was that, you know, she basically said that, you know, my husband and I were building a house. We don't know if we're going to be able to get the financing approved. I'm losing my job. I'm not going to be able to go get another job because I'm having a difficult pregnancy. And, you know, and she said, well, what would you do if you were in my shoes to Obama? And then Rush was like, you know, going the direction of, you know, like people when he was campaigning saying, you know, I want a free kitchen and a new car, you know, stuff like that. He went there and played those little bits again, and I did not hear her going that direction with that question.
Are you a millionaire, sir?
My brain hurts from this. Steve, what's your question exactly?
I just wanted to find out what you if you guys had heard that. I guess you did not even hear that at all about the town hall. The lady was saying that.
I heard it. I didn't hear the stuff Rush Limbaugh was making up about it. But are you a Republican?
Right, I am.
Are you a millionaire?
I am not.
So why do you listen to Rush Limbaugh?
All right, thank you. All right,
He hates you, pal.
Brain was in a little bit of a pretzel. Like, I don't know what he said or what the president said about it.
I think he was kind of taking Rush Limbaugh to task.
I think so.
At least we made that guy laugh by pointing out his own hypocrisy.
All right. Huh? 45 minutes.
Well, Glenn Beck said that Rush said that this lady said that guy said.
And if I ask the question like Yoda, you'll understand. You will.
I think we needed to
a question we'll ask you.
We needed to have a point drop for that. Okay, 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Weird, weird, weird. W-I-E-R-D, weird.
That's not how you spell weird.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
So my body's stable, vicious. I be up in the gym, just working on my fitness. He's my witness. I put your boy on rock, and he be lining down the block just to watch what I got. So delicious.
Check it out. They wanna drink of
what I got. Steffi.
Yeah. Hold up. Check it out. It's Steffalicious. Check it out.
Great song.
51 minutes after the hour.
He said with tongue firmly in cheek.
No, man, I think that's a great song.
Dylan is such a hack. Does he write stuff like that? No.
Hey, man, I love Dylan, but that's a great song. Come on.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Hey, y'all, it's time to get your sexy on, Syracuse. We will see you tomorrow night in Syracuse for the
so
Sexy
great.
Liberal Show starring John Fuglesang and Hal Sparks and the Mama. We will be there tomorrow. So tickets, like I believe, almost gone. I haven't gotten an update this morning, but Ticketmaster.com or at the Krauss-Heinz Theater box office.
Krauss-Heinz?
You left.
Klaus Pardon Heinz?
Me? Well, it's not a Reince Priebus, but it's close enough.
The guy who's trying to kill you to get the insurance money wanted you to fly to New York tonight to avoid possible rain tomorrow.
Yes.
Computer says,
to avoid rain?
Yes, I said no.
Planes can't land in the rain anymore?
They can't now.
He's a little hysterical since this is his new plan to cash in on the life insurance by working me to death. So he's a little overexcited.
Of course, there is a 1 in 100 chance it might just be me for 2 hours tomorrow night, but I don't think so. Stefan Hall are flying into the rain just
like
for you, Syracuse.
It's not like an F-22 that can't fly in the rain. It's all going to be fine.
Yeah, right. Like a B-2 bomber.
All right, RNC chair Reince Priebus. You know, I traded in my Chrysler Cordoba for a Reince Priebus, and I've really been so happy.
But the gas mileage is a lot better.
Does it have crash velour?
Jim, you had some Reince Priebus before. Did that penicillin clear it up?
Yeah. Well, not penicillin. You need more advanced antibiotics from Lindsay Lohan's medicine cabinet.
While attempting to describe how the GOP would appeal to Latino voters, good luck with that. He ignored the facts about both Obama and the Republican Party's records on job creation. He alleged the president has been an absolute failure when it comes to jobs and asserted the Republicans are the right party for creating jobs.
Except that,
despite the actual facts that in the 2 years immediately prior to Obama taking office, the economy lost 4.3 million jobs.
And since then?
Yes. Obama was able to sharply reduce the number of jobs lost each month almost immediately. And since March 2010, the economy has now experienced 14 consecutive months of private job sector growth.
That's the
bikini
graph.
Yes.
And now Hannity to tell us why this is bad.
In fact, the economy under Obama's watch has created 2 million new jobs in just 2 years, already more than the GOP created in 8 years under President Bush. The Wall Street Journal, in fact, reported that the Bush White House had the worst track record for job creation since the government began keeping records. But at least he got Bin Laden. Oh, no, he didn't.
Steph, where can people find that?
At least he didn't get us into an unnecessary war. Oh!
I don't know where he is. I don't care. I don't really think about him.
Where can people read that? The quotes you just read in the staff?
I think that was thinkprogress.org.
I believe so.
There you go.
Okay. Well, by the way, this is really good news. Debbie Wasserman Schultz, our buddy, our pal, mm-hmm. the new DNC chair, says that Gabrielle Giffords will return. She was asked if she will return to the House, and she said, I do. She said, I think she's going to come back to Congress. I mean, the progress she's making, from what I understand, she's on track for that to happen. Not sure when, but she's mm-hmm. making tremendous progress, and we're good. All very proud good. Of her. She said she had dinner with her, actually, in Houston last Friday. She said she's beginning to walk now, really doesn't use the wheelchair, didn't use it when I was there with wow. her, is responding wow. to complex sentences. She's making progress. Mm. She's still got a long way to go, she said. But she's good for her. And she's going to the rescheduled launch
yep.
of her husband's shuttle.
That's great. I hope she's feeling good just in time to take McCain's Senate seat away.
All right. Here's, meet Dean Heller. Dun, 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 dun. He's the Nevada's new, because we were talking about Ensign today. He's Nevada's new, so what's his name? Heller recently.
A senator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Heller said recently he was proud to be the only member of Congress who'll get to vote against Medicaid twice, once in the House and once in the Senate. He once claimed guy. Unemployment benefits are creating hobos.
Hobos? He used the word no. hobos.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Oh, that's almost as bad as tramps.
He voted against.
Gypsies and thieves.
He voted against the SHIP bill denying health care coverage to 4 million children. And he voted to, in contrast to Ensign, he voted to uphold Don't Ask, Don't Tell to continue barring gays from serving in the military. Meet Dean Heller.
That's great.
He must have turned the poor into hamburger, I think.
And
source of protein.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least the hobos should be turned yeah. into hamburger.
Yeah. We're sort of the green.
All right. Yeah. Dorit in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller
Little
Show.
Dorit.
Yes, on a much lighter note,
yes.
has anybody noticed that Newt Gingrich looks like Mickey Dolenz of the Monkey?
You're absolutely right.
Frankly.
Oh, my God.
He does. That's
wow.
Mm-hmm.
Oof.
I'm sure Mickey would be happy to hear that.
Wow. Donald, every party's got its pooper. It's Friday. I'm getting ready to do a sexy liberal party tomorrow in Syracuse. Steph, longtime fan today, you said you don't do drugs. You never even smoke pot. You said you drink wine. Alcohol is nothing more than a deadly, physically addictive, recreational
yes,
drug. Marijuana
right.
is a non-addictive herb, which has never killed anyone.
That's true.
Got its pooper, Donald.
Mm-hmm.
Squeezy, mm-hmm. is this a dream or a nightmare? German mayor rescues man trapped in women's prison. Would you actually ask wow. to get out if you were trapped in a women's
a
prison?
A German women's prison?
Well, it depends.
Yeah. That's
on
different
the
than a regular women's prison.
Right. Yeah. Nicole Sandler told me that women's prisons are not actually like the movies I like to watch.
She would know.
Yeah.
I love this story. My friend is staying with me. She's a psychologist in a maximum security prison.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good job. You know
not
when you
much
get a...
to do there, I guess. No, nope, you're fine.
I love this story. Two New York jail guards are in trouble after an inmate stepped in to break up their fight. They were fighting over a bag of potato chips. And the inmate had to go, you guys have a serious, like, impulse control problem. You need to calm.
Sounds like a Will Ferrell movie.
Yeah.
Justin in L.A., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Justin.
Hey, Steph, the move. This one's for Jim. Mm-hmm. Jim, you keep calling that compound in Pakistan foreclosure in Fresno.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's actually more like a porn set in Chatsworth complete with waterbeds.
A porn set in Chatsworth.
Wow, that's a porn I really don't want to watch.
Isn't all that right. where most porn is made, though? Chatsworth?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Valley.
And all with the same floral bedspread.
That's sure. right.
And the burqa is a whole body condom. So that
floral's better for, you know, stains. Don in Cleveland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
If Bachman gets the Republican nomination, she can hire Sarah Palin, and we can call it the Party of Nuts and Honey.
All right. Dave in L.A. Hi, Dave.
Lowbrow and correct.
Yes. Dave. Hi, Dave.
That baby.
Yes, go ahead, Dave.
And assorted mooks. Hey, we need to say it over and over again from the rooftops that, yes, we might save a few cents or a few gallons, but ain't government subsidies of oil companies socialism?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, of course it is.
Thank you. You're the smartest boy in class. And we're done. There's no time for anyone to be smarter.
It's only socialism when you help the bottom 95%. They're doing pro-growth.
Oh, I see. Okay.
The website is johnfugelsang.com, stephaniemiller.com as well, and sexyliberal.com to find out all the upcoming shows. Syracuse, come on. Come on, sexy liberal Syracuse.
Come see us tomorrow night.
Get your sexy on tomorrow night with...
pray for Stephanie because she's flying into rain.
Yes. I'd like to thank Chris Lloyd, Jim Ward, and Rebecca Taylor. We'll see you Monday, I hope, on the Stephanie Miller Show.